Here's a sure sign that the left is collapsing. Media Matters for America, founded by David Brock in 2004, finds itself teetering on the edge of collapse as it grapples with a staggering $15 million in legal fees stemming from lawsuits initiated by Elon Musk, the left's Marxist watchdog, long known for harassing media that reveals too much about the left's corruption, has inevitably been decimated by financial blows from multiple fronts, while its fair-weather friends scatter. Media Matters' slow race to dissolution deepened following a November 2023 report by Media Matters claiming that advertisements on X were appearing alongside pro-Nazi content, a claim that sparked a massive $75 million advertiser exodus from X. This controversy ignited Musk's lawsuit, alleging the organization deliberately manipulated the platform's algorithm to create a false narrative, damaging X's reputation and revenue. The fallout left Media Matters calling the lawsuit frivolous, causing Media Matters to file a motion to dismiss, which was denied. A countersuit battle has now spread to a California court in a desperate attempt by Media Matters to block X's lawsuits in Ireland and Singapore, alleging these are part of a vendetta-driven campaign to punish Media Matters. Now Media Matters is being hit from all sides as legal and financial pressures mount. The Federal Trade Commission's May 2025 investigation into alleged illegal collusion to reduce X's revenue, combined with earlier probes by Texas and Missouri attorneys general, has run up a tab on Media Matters of $15 million in legal fees, forcing layoffs and operational cuts. Big donors like George Soros, the Tides Foundation, and the NEA are nowhere to be found. Fundraising struggles and advocacy hesitancy have further strained the organization, which has considered closure as a last resort, according to internal documents from a New York Times report. But Media Matters publicly denies plans to shut down. Hubris is a heavy drug, and its supplier, the left's corporate power structure, is rapidly collapsing.
We're getting to the point now the left is entering the era of sedition, insurrection, but in the last week, it's become surreal. We had this Democratic official, Sadie Perkins, and she posted that she was almost happy that we lost over 100 people, the majority of them children, this flash flood in Texas. She said they were all white and therefore they were discriminatory. I've never seen anything like it. It's very, very, very disturbing. We've had now two organized assassination attempts of ICE agents who are just following the law. Why is it happening? We've said in the past that part of it is that the Democratic agenda nobody wanted. As a result of that, they lost the Congress, they lost the White House, they lost, of course, the Supreme Court. So they don't have any power, so they're frustrated. In the first administration, Donald Trump addressed symptoms of the progressive project. This time, he's dealing with the symptoms, and the left is saying, oh my gosh, Donald Trump is starting to address our left-wing monopoly. If he were to be successful, we would collapse, dissipate, disintegrate.
Media Matters simply represents the internal chaos of the FAFOed Democratic Party. The Democrat Party's approval ratings have plummeted to historic lows, with only 27% of registered voters viewing them positively, according to an NBC News poll. The party's reliance on elite-driven, focus group-tested horse pucky has alienated voters. Furthermore, this greedy, narcissistic gerontocracy has damaged future generations, obliterating the American dream. And as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting propaganda machine goes down like the Titanic, and Act Blue is investigated for foreign donations, and the Golden Goose USAID is no longer funding the Democrats' NGO network, undermining the United States sovereignty, the Democratic Party has become a shadow of its former self and will eventually be crushed by American providence. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
A lot of stories to talk about today. Should be having Rex Jones in studio, although I didn't confirm with him. We'll double check on that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. Give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theallstarsport.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theallstarsport.com.
It's Monday, August 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's count.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Monday morning from the InfoWars office here in Austin, Texas. We got a lot to talk about today, including some local Texas news, but obviously a weekend's worth of drama to go through. There's been a major kerfuffle, I guess you could call it, in the right wing with Tucker Carlson interviewing Candace Owens, making some pretty snide remarks about Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes then dropped a 2.5-hour bomb on Tucker Carlson. And it's some pretty fascinating stuff. So I want to get into some of that, see if we can't discern the real motives of everybody involved. It's all very interesting. And I want to take your phone calls on that topic and a lot more because we got a lot of stuff going on. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here's your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 4th of August, 2025. Texas Democrats leave the state to block vote on redrawn House map backed by Trump. On Sunday afternoon, over 51 Democrats from the Texas House boarded a flight to Chicago to prevent Republicans from reaching the quorum needed to approve new congressional district maps. This move responded to a Republican-led committee approving a draft map designed to create 5 Republican-favoring districts following pressure from Trump and amid a special session called after deadly July floods. Democrats said the redistricting would dilute Black and Latino representation by packing or dispersing these voters and criticized Governor Abbott for using flood relief as a cover for a political agenda. State Representative Gene Wu emphasized that although the choice was difficult, it was guided by a clear moral conviction, while Pritzker expressed his support to the Democrats' efforts to prevent the approval of the proposed map. Again, we can get more into this, but essentially the master at arms of the, or sergeant of arms at the Texas State House is putting out arrest warrants for all of these Democrats as they are literally fleeing the state rather than uphold their oath of office and vote for the bills that are put forward. It's a little bit crazy. We'll get more into it. It's also very strange because you have the Illinois governor. I think he's the governor, right? Pritzker of Illinois, like in collusion with the Democrats, trying to work this out. I mean, this is some bizarre sort of like pre-Civil War style state versus state manipulation. It's all very weird. But I'm happy to see Democrats on the run. And like literally, I'm very happy to see Democrats on the defensive, on the back foot, and literally running away because of how badly they're being beaten. It's a very good thing to see. Of course, the Democrats are just gigantic hypocrites. And again, we have to understand that politics is just very simply, it's a game of power. And sure, sometimes that power is
wearing a mask of morality, but at the end of the day, it's just pretty much strictly power. I mean, how many videos have we seen of Democrats just over the last year or so being like, I got to get more immigrants into my district because they'll vote for me. Or, you know, we got to redo these district maps so I get more power. So my people, you know, are more empowered and other people are disempowered. They aren't against this in principle. They just don't like that they're not the ones doing it. So they'll make videos and try to claim that this was some resistance and some big, mean Republican plan to hurt minorities or some other crap they always come out with to justify their just patently power-hungry behavior. But that is what it is. It's just patently power-hungry behavior, and they would do it to us if they had the chance. So no mercy, no half measures, I say. Can we just do business without them? It seems fair to me that if all the Democrats just leave and say we're not going to participate in the business of government, the correct answer to that is okay, bye, and then we just pass whatever we want and just don't have to worry about their input anymore. Can we save the country this way? Is this all that it takes? Is just present something that they, you know, can't win against, so they all just run away and then we can just pass it regardless? And that's what they would do. I think we should do it. We should eradicate all of their congressional districts. I mean, what would you rather do? Redistrict things without the Democrats' input, or listen to Jasmine Crockett for the next couple of years? I mean, whatever we have to do so that none of us ever have to hear about Jasmine Crockett or hear anything she has to say or concern ourselves with the, I guess we can call them, thoughts rattling around in what should be a brain. It's just, can we do something to just disempower these people forever? Amen. Please. Meanwhile, according to the Kremlin, after Trump's submarine order, they say everyone should be worried, frankly. On Monday, the Kremlin responded to U.S. President Donald Trump's declaration that he had directed the deployment of a pair of nuclear subs to specific strategic locations. Trump's announcement followed provocative nuclear rhetoric from former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, who invoked Russia's dead hand automated retaliation system. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov urged caution with nuclear rhetoric, describing the issue as complex and emotionally charged while downplaying any current escalation. Peskov emphasized the need for caution in discussions involving nuclear issues and mentioned that American submarines are currently engaged in active duty. The Kremlin emphasized that foreign policy is determined by Vladimir Putin and maintained that they do not see escalation despite Western claims of nuclear blackmail by Russia. So, okay, I mean, where are we now? I guess the 10-day deadline that Trump set expires on, would it be Friday? Started last Tuesday. So tomorrow will be 7 days. So 3 days after that, the deadline will expire. The ultimatum will have to be fulfilled. And so he's got nuclear submarines, I guess, waiting off the coast of Russia just to plunge the whole world into darkness in case we don't get what we want in the hellish backwater known as Ukraine. Worth it? Absolutely not. Completely insane, completely at odds with absolutely everything that he promised during the election. And again, I think it's why we need to delve into things like the beef between Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson, because I think at the end of the day, what the battle is really is between two or more than two differing worldviews as to what the purpose and future action of America is going to be. And again, it's something that we got to look at because clearly Trump is not who we voted for. And what is behind the change in agenda is worth investigating to see where we go from here. So, I mean, I get it. He's negotiating. He's playing hardball. It's just retarded. It's just very stupid. And I'm very worried about what happens at the end of this. As we've explained a million times, I genuinely don't understand what Russia, what Trump thinks Russia's response is going to be. Russia is winning the war. And like every time Trump talks about it, he has this very weird way of presenting it where he's like, I have a good conversation on the phone with Putin, but then he bombs Ukraine the next day. It's like he bombs Ukraine every day. It's a war. It's a war going on. Like, I guess he just thinks Putin is going to unilaterally declare a ceasefire just to show goodwill to Trump. Like, what? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? So you're telling me you expect Vladimir Putin to just stop fighting while Ukraine is still fighting? No peace agreement, no ceasefire deal, but somehow you're like feel betrayed because Putin is just continuing to wage the war that his country is involved in. That doesn't make any sense. So he's making demands that are nonsensical, don't actually fit in reality, and then he's getting mad they're not met. Sorry, so here he's got this 10-day deadline. What world leader ever, like, you expect Vladimir Putin to just go, oh, no, a deadline, we surrender. Okay, so he's not going to just give in. He's not going to bow to blackmail, deadline, extortion. Like, he's just not, that's just not going to happen. He's not losing the war, so he has no incentive to go to the table. As long as he's winning the war, he can continue as long as he, you know, for all he cares. Okay, so he's probably not going to give in. So when that 10 days expires, I guess we're going to give those long-range missiles to Kiev, and they're going to bomb Moscow, and then I guess Russia is going to go gloves off, just bomb the crap out of Kiev. Although, even that is a little bit, you know, tenuous now because the Ukraine government is coming under massive protest. There's all sorts of, you know, corruption claims that are, you know, gripping Ukraine. We'll go into that, some of that later. So, I mean, maybe Putin won't even bomb Kiev because he's like, he knows that the only reason the war is going on is because of the American control of the Zelensky regime. I just don't, I don't get what Trump's doing here. It seems to me like 10 days are going to expire. I guess he's going to send heavy missiles to Ukraine, but he's just going to look like an idiot 10 days from now. Or, you know, 3 days from now, 10 days from the ultimatum, I seriously doubt Russia's just going to bend the knee and bow. I doesn't look like there's going to be a peace agreement or ceasefire signed in the next 3 days. So what is this? Russia warns against threats after Trump repositions nuclear submarines. And Trump's just like, yeah, we'll be fine. We could beat Russia in a nuclear war, no problem. What? What? Why would you want to engage in a nuclear war with Russia? Can we first of all just determine what even the, like, conflict is here? Because I know it's not what they say it is. I mean, what they say is that this is, you know, fighting back against Putin because he's a Hitler-like expansionist authoritarian who's trying to just seize a country that's not his and annex it into Russia. And that, you know, idea alone is enough for us to wage war against him, possibly up to nuclear war. And we know that's not the case. We know that's not the case because if the international community, as it were, we're so fundamentally and principally opposed to annexing foreign land. You know, there is another conflict going on right now where the plan is very deliberately to annex foreign land. Okay, so it's not that. Okay, so if it was just about annexing land, I think there'd be a bit of a problem there with the overwhelming hypocrisy of us giving endless support to Israel as it has already annexed parts of Syria, is annexing parts of Gaza, and obviously and openly and tells you its plan is to then move on to South Lebanon and other areas, you know, for expansion. So again, it's just, that's not what's happening here. obviously, I think, I mean, unless, whatever, it's just all lies, it's just all lies and lies on top of lies. And apparently there's a, Steve Witkoff is going to Russia as an envoy to do some talks, I guess. But if Russia could just nuke us, I mean, maybe we could all get out of this. Trump envoy Witkoff to head to Russia for last chance Ukraine ceasefire talks. I'll tell you what, Russia. I can't speak for all Americans, but I will say nobody'd blame you if you'd wipe D.C. off the map. Just saying, nobody'd blame you. We'd all pretend, we'd all look the other way. Be like when the really, really, never mind. I won't say that. We'll look the other way. We'll turn the other cheek. We'll just, you know, there's this group of people. They just keep starting wars all over the place. They just won't leave us alone. They're destroying all of our countries. And they're not all over the place. They're in just a few very small locations. And Russia wanted to free the earth from their control. Because obviously we can't vote our way out of it. Obviously we keep voting for people to not do the things they keep doing. So, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But obviously Trump, I don't know. Maybe he thinks that America is more prepared than we are for some reason. I don't think we're that prepared for surviving a nuclear combat with Russia, which of course would involve China. I just have the feeling if war were to really break out in a real way, yeah, it might not actually last that long. But I don't know. All I know is according to a lot of the war games, our aircraft carriers last about 12 hours off the coast of China and elsewhere. So we'll see. Meanwhile, Secret Service abruptly halts security clearance renewal for former director Kimberly Cheadle. Secret Service Director Sean Curran reversed course and decided against renewing Cheadle's top-level security clearance after Real Clear Politics brought up Ron Johnson's opposition to the agency. The Secret Service was moving forward with renewing former Director Kimberly Cheadle's top-level security clearance, but reversed course after Real Clear Politics inquired about a key senator's opposition. According to multiple sources in the Secret Service community, Ron Johnson, a Wisconsin Republican who chairs the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations and previously chaired the full Homeland Security Panel, argued that Cheadle should not have her security clearance renewed after her leadership decisions contributed to the agency's numerous failures surrounding the assassination attempt against Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Following the security debacle in Butler, the former director of the USSS made the right decision to resign, Johnson told RCP. I see no reason for her security clearance to be reinstated. So, yeah, I think that sounds fair to me. I think if as director of the Secret Service, you have the president, your one and only responsibility almost killed by a sniper who was within view and apparently armed for many, many minutes before anything was ever done about it. Yeah, I think you have to resign forever now. I think if this was the ancient days where honor still ruled human behavior, Cheadle would kill herself. That's what I think. I think the appropriate response to that level of failure would be. I'm talking like Roman times. Fall on the sword. That would be the appropriate response. No, she's desperately trying to claw back her security clearance. Because what is honor? because who cares, right? Finally, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting announces shutdown following funding loss. On Friday, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting revealed plans to begin closing its operations by the end of September 2025. The decision follows Congress canceling federal funding for CBP in the 2026 budget bill and a prior recession of $1.1 billion requested by the Trump administration. For nearly six decades, CBP has played a vital role in supporting over 1,500 community-based public radio and television outlets, delivering educational programs, emergency information, and fostering cultural connections nationwide. President and CEO Patricia Harrison acknowledged that despite widespread public efforts to urge Congress to maintain funding, the organization must proceed with shutting down its operations. Most employees will be laid off by September 30th, 2025, with a small transition group staying on until January 2026 to finalize the shutdown process. We did it, guys. We did it. Congratulations, you guys. The menace of free television is over. It's over. You will no longer have to be, you know, constantly menaced and bombarded with the high quality free games for preschool children on PBS Kids. Whew, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I mean, you know, where else are you going to save $100 million? A couple $100 million. I think $500 million was the budget, which is a lot. I mean, do you have any idea how many missiles we could buy for Israel with that? Five. We could buy five missiles for that. So, I mean, I don't know where else you think we're going to cut funding, but like obviously the budget and the debt matters. It really matters. Okay. You'll notice how, you know, with Trump's tariffs, they brought in $150 billion with those tariffs. And you've noticed that your life has massively increased because of that budget windfall, right? So obviously the budget, the debt, the deficit has a tangible effect on the world around you. And even the most heartless and brutal and ill-advised, you know, cutting of what 90% of people agree is, you know, just sort of neutral, if not good programs. Yeah, cut those immediately. It's not like we spend trillions of dollars feeding families of seven, which nobody in their family has ever had a job for the last three generations. No, God forbid we do anything to, you know, lessen the billions of dollars funneled through the worthless eaters into, you know, Pizza Hut, PepsiCo, whatever other, you know, major conglomerates have the agreements with the government to, provide food at a subsidized price. God forbid we cut entitlements. God forbid we cut the military budget. No, the one thing that's really going to make a difference is if Republicans assume the mantle of Elmo's murderers. Great job, guys. Really good job. And I know, like, I see people online going, oh no, but they were propaganda. It's like, all right, here's a little, I want you to have a little experiment for everybody out there. There's somebody that you know at work, the gas station, your wife or husband, who doesn't really pay attention to politics, doesn't really care that much, just isn't involved, isn't, you know, doesn't watch a lot. Go tell them that Republicans canceled PBS. Just go have that conversation with them. See how they react. See how they feel about it. See if they, just any normal person that's not a, you know, dyed-in-the-wool, like, hardcore, politics-obsessed Republican, and just see if the response is anything other than, like, pure horror and, in a way, like, just sadness. It's gonna be like you're telling them that their childhood dog has died. Thanks, Republicans. No, we really had to save that money. Got to send it right to Israel quick.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court, and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it at that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexshowstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30. You're a VIP, and when you want a T-shirt or you want a supplement, you get, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue? Don't want to do it? Cancel. One click. It's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly, and that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil, and we're turning the tide, and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think, being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, and Riley was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones and direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships 2-3 times the size. Just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy has been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, just some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again, for all of our collective futures, to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to get into today. I think I want to start with a couple videos. And we'll do like we tend to do sometimes when we have the opportunity. Start with a little bit of good news. I want to go to clip number 4 here because in just the last 48 hours or so, RFK Jr. has racked up quite a few wins. And out of all of Trump's appointees and everything Trump's administration is doing, RFK Jr. seems to be one of the only ones consistently racking up victories, removing fluoride, removing mercury from the vaccines, removing COVID-19 from the childhood vaccine schedule. I know some people are even not, you know, satisfied with the pace of action there. But that what RFK Jr. is doing is looks like what all of Trump's administration should be doing. I don't think anybody was expecting you know, Trump to come in and just immediately, within a week, all the migrants would be deported and all the whatever. We always knew it would take some time. And RFK Jr. seems to be the only one who is just genuinely, like, plodding away, just working behind the scenes. Every week or so, there will be an announcement of what he's working towards and victories that they're having and the way things are going. And then sometimes, you know, we'll go, well, wait, but just because COVID-19 is removed from the childhood vaccine schedule, kids can still get it. And it's like, all right, well, you know, he's working on that too, but step by step here. I get, you know, not being satisfied with the bare minimum and, you know, wanting more. But RFK Jr. does genuinely seem to be just slow and steady wins the race, removing these things piecemeal, and then occasionally get a major announcement like this. Let's go down to clip 24. This is posted on InfoWars and the story, and Alex did a big segment on this as well. But here's RFK Jr. In the last 24 hours, Secretary of Health RFK Jr. has achieved quite a bit. Let's watch.
Hi, I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS Secretary. I'm happy to report that last week we closed the final chapter in the long history of thimerosal in the United States. Thimerosal, of course, is a mercury-based vaccine preservative. Its main component, ethyl mercury, is a known and very potent neurotoxin. Until we withdrew the recommendation last week, flu shots containing thimerosal, astonishingly, were still being administered to millions of Americans, including pregnant women and children. Now, I've taken a lot of flack from the vaccine industry and from its allies in the press about my decision to ban it. So I want to talk a little bit about my reasons. In early 2001, the director of the FDA Office of Vaccine Research and Review, late William Egan, admitted under oath before Congress that thimerosal safety had never been studied in human beings. Further, CDC has no existing guidelines for safe exposures to ethyl mercury. It is therefore inexcusable that these agencies allowed neurotoxic mercury to be injected into Americans for so long. A quick search of the National Library of Medicine's PubMed and PubChem websites nets thousands of studies on search terms such as mercury neurotoxicity, mercury in development, and mercury in the brain. Hundreds of them identify thimerosal as a potent neurotoxin, a carcinogen, a mutagen, and an endocrine disruptor. But let's put all that peer-reviewed science aside and just look at what the government itself and the vaccine industry say about thimerosal. Thimerosal's own label advises against its use during pregnancy, pointing out that thimerosal has never been shown to be safe and that it causes mutations in mammals. Thimerosal's material safety data sheet acknowledges that thimerosal is toxic, that it has nervous system and reproductive effects, that it's mutagenic in mammalian cells, that exposure to mercury and thimerosal in utero and in children could cause mild to severe mental retardation and mild to severe motor coordination impairment. The MSDS also lists a grim inventory of dozens of other devastating injuries from thimerosal exposure. In 2001, the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences warned that thimerosal is toxic by ingestion and inhalation. The California EPA recognizes thimerosal as a reproductive toxin in the clearest possible language. Thimerosal, it says, disassociates in the body to ethyl mercury. The evidence for its reproductive toxicity includes severe mental retardation or malformations in human offspring who were poisoned when their mothers were exposed to ethyl mercury or received thimerosal vaccines while pregnant. Studies in animals demonstrate that developmental toxicity after exposure to either ethyl mercury or thimerosal. The U.S. EPA also identifies mercury and mercury compounds as causing reproductive toxicity. The amount of ethyl mercury in the flu shot that CDC just banned under my order is 25,000 times the EPA's safety level for drinking water. Federal and state laws provide that whenever expired thimerosal vaccines are disposed of, They constitute hazardous waste. They have to be disposed of in special landfills. I have to ask again, why were we injecting this toxin into babies and pregnant women? A year 2000 study by the National Research Council found that prenatal and infant mercury exposures cause multiple impacts to basic brain development by disrupting the division and the migration of neuronal cells. According to the National Toxicity Program, ethyl mercury is a neurotoxin. Infants may be more susceptible than adults. Ethyl mercury exposure from vaccines probably caused neurotoxic responses in some children. A 2005 NIH study commissioned by FDA's Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research and performed by the National Toxicity Program found that ethyl mercury and thimerosal crosses the blood-brain barrier, lodges in the brain, and metabolizes into the most toxic form of mercury at double the rate of the heavily regulated methylmercury in fish. A subsequent study found that this highly toxic mercury remains in the brain for over 27 years. A 2017 study by CDC links miscarriage to flu vaccines and found that the odds of having a miscarriage within 28 days were 7.7 times greater than in women who did not receive a flu shot during pregnancy. Another study published that same year in the Journal of the American Medical Association found an elevated risk of autism spectrum disorders in children whose mothers had received a first trimester flu shot. Instead of immediately withdrawing thimerosal from flu shots to protect women and their babies, CDC issued a gag order instructing its personnel not to discuss that study. On October 1, 2001, the Institute of Medicine of the National Academy of Sciences issued a report concluding that the link between thimerosal and the rise of neurological injuries in American children, including autism, is, quote, biologically plausible, end quote. And they recommended the termination of all thimerosal-preserved vaccines. Regulators should never have allowed mercury in any vaccine, especially those given to children. They had the science, but they chose to ignore it. For 20 years, I've been battling to get mercury out of vaccines. Instead of following the science, CDC and its allies in the industry and the pharma-funded media have marginalized, vilified, and censored parents, doctors, and scientists who question the wisdom of using mercury in vaccines by calling them by the pejorative anti-vaxxer. I've been trying to get mercury out of fish for 40 years, and nobody called me anti-fish. That's the pattern we've seen for too long. Companies protect profits by suppressing the science, and regulators lie to the public and look the other way. But this pattern ends now under President Trump's new HHS. I'm happy to announce that my newly appointed CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices voted in June to recommend a full ban on mercury-containing preservatives in all vaccines, including flu shots. I formally approved that recommendation last week. The decision breaks decades of paralysis, and it fulfills the 1999 promise by the National Academy of Sciences, and it finally aligns U.S. vaccine policy with that of developed countries that removed mercury additives decades ago. Let me be clear. Flu vaccines will remain available. Manufacturers have confirmed that they can shift from mercury-preserved multi-dose vials the single-dose applications, and this change ensures the uninterrupted supply for both the Vaccines for Children program and adult vaccination efforts. Now that the U.S. has removed mercury from all vaccines, we urge global health authorities to follow suit for the protection of children around the world. We urge the World Health Organization and Gavi to stop their programs of injecting mercury into more than 100 million black and brown babies in developing countries annually. This moment marks a major step toward restoring public trust in the safety of our medicines. This decision sends a clear message. The days of ignoring the science are over. The days of putting profits ahead of people are over. We are remaking FDA and CDC under President Trump's leadership. Your FDA and your CDC into the vigilant public watchdogs that they were always meant to be. Thank you.
Produced by the U.S. Department.
Statement from Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. After more than 20 years of delay, I'm proud to finally deliver on a long overdue promise protecting our most vulnerable from unnecessary mercury exposure. And of course, the real threat is the combination of mercury and aluminum. And we don't need to expand on it. It was a very thorough lesson from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And at least in some cases, the Trump administration still sounds like they are literally reading a script from a Bound report or something. They sound like they're from InfoWars. They're pushing our ideas. Elsewhere, not so much, I have to say. And I think I'll just open up the phone lines for your calls today. Because I don't want to just get up and bash Trump. But honestly, I cannot think of anything in the last couple months that I can even point to as a moderate good. I mean, supposedly now, for the first time in 50 years, the immigrant population in America has gone down rather than up. So I give him credit for that. That's not nearly enough. Needs to be a whole hell of a lot faster than it's going right now. But I gotta admit, part of me is just like, just wants to bash Trump. Have y'all seen the Rose Garden makeover? They paved the Rose Garden. Great. Thanks, Trump. It's great. It's just stuff like that that's just like, okay, so he's moving nuclear submarines to Russia and saying, yeah, we can survive a nuclear war with Russia. We'll be fine. Okay. What? All right. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing to say. The tariffs are going into effect. Apparently, we've got $150 billion in tax revenue. Yeah, here's the big glorious makeover from a rose garden to a parking lot. Yay. And I guess the whole reason was because women's heels would sink into the grass. It's like, but isn't it a little bit more human? Isn't it a little bit more natural? Doesn't it connect you a little bit more with the real world around you? Did you really have to pave it? And he's like, don't worry, it's white concrete, so it will reflect the heat and it won't be as hot. Have you ever been outside, Mr. Trump? Have you ever experienced the difference between walking on concrete or grass and which one is hotter than the other? Like, this is the thing, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, I see all these headlines that are just like, treating this like it's a crime against humanity or something. So I'm not going to go off on it as if this is like, actually matters. Okay, there's stone instead of grass. Who cares at the end of the day? But it just is like another thing that's just, to me, sort of symbolic, where it's like, I'm not going to pretend to like this. I'm not going to pretend that this is a good thing or a cool idea or like something that needed to be done. It's ugly. It's unnatural. It's bizarre. It's pointless. It's just going to make everybody mad. Like, I don't know. To me, it's kind of like similar to the PBS thing. Where it's like, I guess ostensibly, sure, grass is slightly harder to walk on, so women with sharp heels, their heels would sink into the, but it's like, is that really worth it? Is that really worth handing the image to the Democrats where they get to show a beautiful garden versus a parking lot and go, here's what Trump did for you? Is that really worth it? Like, is it really worth it to destroy something that just wasn't bothering anybody? Wasn't that big of a deal? I mean, the craziest thing to draw these, you know, two things together. Apparently Trump is going to build a ballroom in the White House. God only knows, you know, there's one thing Washington DC it's missing. It's places to host people, right? Whatever, build a ballroom, but the ballroom is going to cost as much as it costs to run PBS. So I guess this is a little bit annoying. It's like, you wait, you're going to spend $200 to $300 million on a ballroom. And then you're going to destroy PBS to save that same amount of money, more or less. Okay. I just don't get, what he's doing. I don't get what the point of this is. Or how so many real problems are going completely and utterly unaddressed while we do all this ridiculous nonsense. I don't know. Am I wrong? $200 million Trump ballroom proposal looks a lot like Versailles. Social media users couldn't help but notice similarities between the lavish project led by architects James McCrary and the palace of a certain ill-fated French monarch. Let them eat cake while $200 million gold-plated ballroom in the White House. I'm not even against there being a ballroom at the White House. Like, fine, build the ballroom. Again, you know, a lot of that is, it's just your classic, like, leftist socialist crap where they're like, you could have fed 100,000 people for that. It's like, well, we have to do spectacular things sometimes. Sorry, guys. Sometimes we have to do really awesome things for humanity that don't directly feed starving people, but are sort of the whole reason that life is worth living. So we're going to keep doing them. Okay. Same type of thing. People waving signs at the launch of Apollo 11. Going, Whitey's on the moon and black man starving. It's like, well, sorry, we're going to the moon. Sorry, we're doing awesome, heroic things that you aren't capable of even imagining. So sorry, we're going to build an awesome ballroom. I'm not even against that. I'm just against the paving of the Rose Garden and the destruction of PBS and the nuclear war with Russia and the ongoing continual, like, cartoonish and offensive support of Israel that we're experiencing. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, ended the session early, went to early recess, so they didn't have to vote on the Epstein files. And then he and a whole bunch of other Republicans immediately hopped on planes and flew to Israel. Now, at the time that Mike Johnson was calling the recess, he said, you know, we need more time spent at home in our districts, learning from the people. So he went home to his district, the Wailing Wall. The Wailing Wall on the Temple Mount in Israel. His district, his homeland. And at a time when Israel is causing so many problems in America, it's causing such a divide amongst the American people, but in particular, he visited a settlement in occupied West Bank as well. Okay, the illegal terrorist camps that are burning churches that are 2,000 years old. The West Bank settlements, the ones declared terrorists in official documents. He's visiting them and praying at the Wailing Wall. I think we need to, there's a couple aspects of this. For one thing, it doesn't matter if the Wailing Wall has any historical significance at all. That's not what this is about. When Mike Johnson or President Trump or J.D. Vance or literally everybody in the U.S. government goes to pray at the Wailing Wall, it's purely symbolic. It does not matter that it's the wall. Okay? It could be a pair of shoes. It could have been it doesn't matter. It's just an act of symbolic submission. That's all it is. Again, doesn't matter if it's the wall. Doesn't matter if the wall is any historical context. It's just the designated show that you're Israel's bitch photograph zone, okay? But if you want to get into the esoteric aspect of it, what it is forcing American politicians to go commit an act of blasphemy against Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ and the gospel according to Luke say that there was no stone left one on top of another in a temple. So if you go and acknowledge and act like and give veracity to the claim that this is a temple wall, you are de facto calling Jesus and the gospels a lie. So that's where the esoteric aspect of it. But we can go now to clip number 8 here, see if we have time. We don't quite have time. I'll go to that in the first 5 of the next segment. But in the meantime, we got some more data to get into when it comes to things like the Wailing Wall. Now, this one's interesting. Andrew Torba at Based Torba on X quoted the Bible about the Wailing Wall. And here's the exact thing he wrote. In 70 AD, the Romans under Titus breached Jerusalem after a brutal siege, just as Christ had foretold in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. They torched the temple, melted its gold, and pried apart the stones so completely that, quote, not one stone was left upon another, fulfilling his precise prophecy and ending the sacrificial system, all within the generation of his warning. Now, I read that. I genuinely cannot see where you would even interpret an insult or hate in this. I mean, literally, it's just like, here's history. Here's what history says. Here's what happened. Well, unfortunately for Andrew Torba, the people that run X, I guess, don't agree. He says, come on, man, quoting scripture and documented history is a crime on this platform now. And yes, it appears as though X put a warning on his post saying, we put a warning message on these posts because they might have sensitive content like nudity, sexual content, violence, gore, or hateful symbols. We know we don't always get it right. If we flagged your post by mistake, we can appeal the warning. So for some reason, the automated, you know, censorship program of X declared this post offensive somehow and censored it and restricted it. For some reason, and you have to ask, like, what is in the code that would trip this algorithm? Saying in 70 AD, Rome under Titus dismantled the temple. Here's the quote of how it happened in the gospel, and that's censored? And that's tagged and flagged as offensive hate speech? Or sexual content? Yeah, because pornography, that's impossible stuff to find on X, right? You don't ever see that everywhere constantly.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products. products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. As we speak, a variety of Republican leaders are in Israel pledging their fealty to a foreign country. They do this in the open and brag about it. Just absolutely shocking. And likely, in the future, we will look back and see this absurdity for exactly what it is. I don't know how people don't see this already. I mean, people always make, the memes always sort of cut to the heart of the matter, where they'll show all the pictures of the, American leadership bowing their head to the Wailing Wall, wearing the yarmulke, and they'll Photoshop it. And they'll Photoshop out the yarmulke and put a rice paddy hat on and say, do you know that all the American presidents have to go to the Great Wall of China and pledge fealty to the Chinese leadership? It'd be a little bit obvious in that case, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a little bit offensive and obvious in that case? For some reason, when it's the Wailing Wall, they pretend like this isn't incredibly weird and frankly treasonous. But again, people have a misconception about the Wailing Wall, because people keep lying about it. Maybe misconception is not the right word. They don't have a misconception about it. They believe lies about it. Let's go to a factual report about what the so-called Wailing Wall actually is and the actual purpose of visiting it. Let's watch.
Wailing Wall is a sacred remnant of the Second Temple, a place where God's presence still lingers. But this narrative falls apart under historical and archaeological scrutiny. The structure commonly revered today is, in truth, a surviving wall of the Roman military compound known as Fort Antonia, not the Holy Temple. The actual temple stood to the south, built over the Gihon Spring, a requirement for temple purification rituals, which the Roman compound did not meet. The protruding rock beneath the Dome of the Rock, often mistaken for the foundation stone of the temple, was in fact the central part of Fort Antonia. In other words, the Jews today are not praying at the remains of God's temple. They are praying at the wall of a Roman fortress. But the deception goes deeper. The rituals performed at the Wailing Wall are rooted not in biblical faith, but in the 13th century occult system of the Kabbalah, as elaborated in the Zohar and further mystified by the Hasidic movement. The supposed divine presence they seek at the wall is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the Shekhinah, a feminine emanation in Jewish mysticism. She is described in erotic, intimate terms, often as a divine consort, with whom spiritual union is sought through the act of prayer, a practice called kavana, where physical movement, like the back and forth thrusting you see, mirrors an esoteric sexual ritual intended to unite the Shekhinah with the Ein Sof, the infinite masculine force of their God concept. This is not worship. It's a metaphysical sex act disguised as devotion. It is an inversion of divine truth, rooted in mysticism that scripture calls an abomination. And this is where it collides with our politics. Nearly every major political figure, presidents, prime ministers, global influencers, must perform their rite of passage at the Wailing Wall. Hands pressed against stone, heads bowed in reverence. They are not just pandering to voters or honoring tradition. They are knowingly or unknowingly participating in an occult ritual, submitting themselves at the very seat of the synagogue of Satan. Scripture is unambiguous. In Acts 17:24, it says God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Much less would he dwell in a Roman fortress surrounded by rituals that glorify a false god and mystical union. It is spiritual prostitution. Our leaders are not just shaking hands with global powers. They are shaking hands with the devil.
Now, again, I've heard that same thing about that weird movement that they do being like it's supposed to be reminiscent of a sex act. For that reason, I've heard that from a couple different sources.
I'm sure other people have different interpretations. But yeah, they found Roman coins under the wall that were dated from the 100s. So it was not the Second Temple. That's not what they're praying to. Anybody, any serious academic knows it.
Historians have pointed it out for thousands of years. Most people, when history is happening right in front of them, don't realize it until later. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has changed the world. You are the InfoWar. You're the eyes and ears. You're the reason we're on the air. You're the reason we're having so much success. And the bad guys hate InfoWars above all other independent populist media. So we want to keep us on the air and take part in history. We have a limited edition, murdered out InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you can get all the other apparel for way lower prices. We've got a big deal going right now where you buy one, you get one free if you're a VIP. That's incredible for the supplements as well. But with this shirt, we've marked it up a bit for those of you that really want to support the InfoWar and get this limited edition shirt. So get your InfoWars limited edition murdered out shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a limited edition. Thanks for your support, and thanks for being part of history.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Remember to support InfoWars by going to thealexjonesstore.com. The store-wide buy one, get one super sale is still on for VIPs only. You can buy one, get one on all supplies and apparel while supplies last. Unlock massive savings with our store-wide buy one, get one super sale at thealexjonesstore.com, where VIP members can score buy one, get one deals on all supplements and apparel and supercharge your wellness and style. This exclusive offer is reserved for our VIP club elites, giving you unbeatable value on top quality products that fuel your fight for truth and freedom. Join the VIP club today for just $30 a month. Cancel anytime and instantly get $40 in store credit, plus access to this epic sale. Do not miss out. Sign up now and double up on your favorites. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we can move on from the Wailing Wall. But it appears as though there's a problem in the Republican Party. I'm going to say there's a civil war in the Republican Party, but I guess there are going to be civil wars with more than two factions. It seems like there are multiple factions at play in the Republican Party. And I'm trying to wrap my head around the strategic value of some of this stuff. I want to take your calls on this topic. We'll be joined by Rex Jones in the third hour. And I imagine we'll take your calls as well. But give us a call, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. I want to know specifically what you think about the Republican Party right now and where it goes from here. Marjorie Taylor Greene hints that she might be finished with the GOP, saying, "I don't know if the Republican Party is leaving me." Georgia Firebrand recently broke with her party to condemn Israel's genocide in Gaza, one of the few positions she's taken in opposition to her party. Obviously, you have this divide between Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, which represents a different but not wholly exclusive division. Like, most of this has to do with Israel, but not completely, right? You've got Tucker Carlson being somewhat anti-Israel, at least expressing opposition to the blatant acts of genocide that Israel is committing out in public with American taxpayer dollars. And so already there was this divide between the Mark Levin types and the Chadsworth Catarlson, or whatever the hell they call him. Right? So you've got this divide where they're saying that Tucker Carlson is an agent of Qatar, because he's not sufficiently pro-Israel. But then you have a further divide, like the Nick Fuentes wing, that's like, no, Tucker Carlson is just playing a long game and being instructed by unseen forces to act like he's anti-Israel, to contain that energy, to guide that energy back towards the establishment rather than, you know, allow it to run unfettered through the ranks of Republicans around the country. And on top of that, apparently there's some big kerfuffle in Nashville where the Republicans were demanding that they support Black Lives Matter. A lot of Republicans were against that. So, you know, it's sort of an impossible situation again, because like yesterday I posted about the Nick Fuentes Tucker Carlson hit piece. So essentially what happened is Tucker Carlson interviews Candace Owens. During this interview, they insult Nick Fuentes and mock him a little bit and basically try to discredit him. But it's about a 5-minute segment of the conversation where they're both sort of just criticizing or insulting Nick Fuentes. And Nick Fuentes does a 2.5-hour stream where he lays out a very interesting series of events where it appears as though there were certain Republican figures who were selected by the powers that be representative of America First. And they all have a few things in common, one of which is a connection to the CIA, another of which is a devotion to Israel. And I post that just saying, wow, that whole episode was really amazing, because it was. It's 2.5 hours straight of just like straight information. But Nick's real talent, people say he's charismatic. I guess he's charismatic, but his real talent is in narrative building. He's a good storyteller, and that's the most valuable skill you can have as a somebody who practices rhetoric, basically. And so when he tells these stories, it's not just, you know, here's a fact. It's laying out the timeline. It's telling the narrative. The rising action, the reveal. I mean, really powerful stuff. Anyway, so I post this video, or I post a clip of Nick Fuentes and say, yeah, wow, this episode was really good. And then I have people commenting, going, you know, this is what they want, Republicans fighting each other. It's like, I agree, you know, we shouldn't be fighting each other. So why do they keep starting it? Why do they keep starting it? Now you're in an impossible position. Where it's like, okay, they are attacking other Republicans. And then when those other Republicans respond, you have people showing up going, whoa, don't fight. And it's like, okay, then you should be against Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens for starting the fight. So you want them to be able to insult Republicans and cause division in the Republicans, but Nick Fuentes isn't allowed to respond. No, he has to respond. They started it. Be mad at them. So, but it's an impossible situation, because you're right. I don't want the Republican Party to be divided. But then when you have somebody create a division, you got to handle that. You either got to heal the divide and come together again, or determine that those people aren't in your party and your party is something else that doesn't include them. So we got all these various divisions in the Republican Party cropping up, but pretty much all of them have to do with the same conflict, the same issue, which is Israel. And again, this could, you know, there can be a variety of different reasons why one would be compelled to oppose Israel. Republican divide over Gaza grows in the wake of Trump's call for more aid. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene, a right-wing lawmaker closely identified with President Donald Trump, says MAGA movements this week became the first Republican in Congress to describe the situation in Gaza as a genocide. And so I guess the Republicans have a couple options. And they're choosing the worst one. They're choosing the absolutely worst one. I sort of get it, but again, I'm just sort of like puzzling this out. live, you've got Mike Johnson, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and a number of other Republicans who make a big show doing this big press conference and public tourist visit to Israel when they should be in Congress, but they call a recess early to spend more time in their home districts, and then they all jet off to Israel to make this big show of very publicly wearing the yarmulke, praying at the wall, giving speeches about how important the wall is, how important Israel is. It's like, okay, so they see that half of the Republican base is getting sick of the Israel worship, is getting sick of the complicity that America has towards the genocide there. And the response from the Republican Party is to double down on this. So this, like, say what you want about whether this is appropriate or not, or like whatever your personal feelings on it are. What this is like a power play, is a demoralization campaign. Because you can think about it in any other situation. And they always portray, and like it's this thing that they do. It's very infuriating. They read hate into any opposition to Israel. And then, so then they can act like they're standing up against hate. They're not going to be bowed down and cowed and forced to submit by these anti-Semites. They're going to, you know, stick with their allies in Israel. And so like they have this like feeling that they put off this energy as if they're like standing up against the big bullies. Which anybody paying attention, I mean, this is absurd. So what's actually happening here is you've got Israelis run the American government. In particular, they run the Republican Party. And then you have a bunch of the American voters who ostensibly the Republican Party is supposed to and bound by oath to serve, saying, hey, we don't like this. We don't like supporting Israel this much. We don't like the reputational damage it does us. We don't like the fact they're killing kids. We don't think it's like politically good. And obviously have the contingent of, you know, brainwashed idiots who think this is some sort of, you know, religious imperative they have to follow. But for the majority of people that aren't psychopathic, you know, brainwashed idiots, they just see what's happening in the real world and go, this is bad. We don't like this. Would you stop? In response to that, the Israelis basically step on your face and go, not only are we not going to even pretend to give you and your views credence, we're going to double down on our support of Israel. We're going to do it because we can, because you can't stop us. And even like, it doesn't matter how politely you ask or how nicely you couch it. Very simply asking the American government not to be Israel's bitch, they will spin around and double down on the support and then act like they're standing up against the bullies. No one's trying to bully anybody. We're literally just like, stop giving all of our money to these people. For some reason, I started watching over the weekend these videos about this guy named Grant Amato. Do y'all know who Grant Amato is? Classic true crime story. Grant Amato is like the Republican Party of family annihilators. See, he was a complete piece of crap, worthless scumbag who got fired from his nursing job because he was stealing Percocets. And he was feeling, depressed because he was such a failure. He was, you know, like 20-something-year-old dude from Florida, lived with his parents and his brother. Got fired from being a nurse and got addicted to not pornography, but to a Bulgarian woman named Sylvie. And over the course of a couple months, he sent a Bulgarian porn cam operator named Sylvie all of his family's money. For months on end, he would send her $2,400 a night of his father's retirement money that he somehow had access to. And he emptied his father's retirement by sending it all to a Bulgarian woman named Sylvie so he could see her tatas. Okay, so that's sort of how I feel with the Republican Party. And it's amazing because you can watch the interviews with this Grant D'Amato guy and he still doesn't get that he's the bad one. He feels offended that his dad got mad at him. God, my dad's such a jerk. He comes in, he gets all mad at me about this and he's like yelling at me and it's like, you spent his retirement money on a Bulgarian woman. You are the one at fault here. It's just like, we just want you to stop sending all of our money to overseas, okay? For the love of God, you have literally robbed us of our future. You have stolen all of our retirement money and you've wasted it for your own disgusting pleasure. But then you try to tell him that and he thinks he's the one being bullied. They just don't want me to be happy. And it's like, I don't know what it is, but there's a connection there. There's a connection there. Because what does Grant D'Amato do when they cut him off? What is the Grant D'Amato reaction to just no longer being given hundreds of thousands of dollars to send to a Bulgarian cam whore? He kills his whole family. And that's sort of the Israeli mindset, I think. It's sort of the, you know, Israeli mindset. It's kind of like you give me all of your money. You give me everything you've ever built. You give it all to me. You surrender it all to me. And then when I've taken everything, when you are just going, hey, look, we're not doing this anymore. All right. You've already taken everything. Actually, we're going to sort of put you on lockdown. We actually need to, you know, correct your behavior. Then they're like, well, we'll kill all of you. What do you think now? Israel is the Grant D'Amato of nations, basically. And that's sort of how it feels. Is we are just begging the GOP and the Republican Party, just please stop sending all of our money to your Bulgarian cam whores, your Jeffrey Epstein blackmailers. Stop sacrificing everything we've ever worked for these people that hate you. And when you tell them that, they act like they're the victims, they're the ones being bullied, and in fact, they feel justified in killing you or, you know, slaughtering everybody who gets in their way. That's what Grant D'Amato did. Very Israeli approach to the situation, in my opinion. So, again, I can't understand the mindset behind this. Because it does just seem like bullying, like petulant bullying. Where like I even see it with my kids, where I've got, you know, a son that's 4 and a daughter that's 2. And she tried to train him out of it. But there's still sort of the human bullying instinct. Where it's like my daughter, you know, asked my son, like, wait, can I have that? Like, really wants it, but he's stronger than her. So he's just like, nope. And I'm stronger than you. Like, even if he doesn't want something, he'll just take it from her because he can. And it's like, you're just doing this to upset her. You don't even want the toy. You're literally just doing this to piss off your little sister because you can. And it's just the mindset of bullies, right? Yeah, and my son's a very sweet boy, but it happens, right? It happens. It comes out every once in a while. And that's how this feels, is like, we're just like, hey, you know, we get it. You're blackmailed and obsessed with Israel, like, it's fine, but just, you know, can we focus on us a little bit? And they're like, oh, you want us to focus on you? Well, guess what? We're going to the Wailing Wall. We're going to go to the Wailing Wall, and we're going to reemphasize how much we don't give a damn about you. We're going to end Congress early. We're going to take an early recess just so we can go to the Wailing Wall and further submit ourselves to the foreign powers. What do you think about that? And we're just like, okay, I guess, like, you can do that if you want. Just like, why though? But why are you so insistent? Why are you, like, being such bullies? And the only thing I can think of is this, like, a demoralization campaign where, like, they know that this is damaging their party. They know that Americans don't like this, and they're just doing it anyway, thinking that the American response will just be like, oh, they're so strong, I guess we just can't do anything about it. Man, no matter how much we ask, they keep just going to the wailing wall. I guess the Jews win. I guess we better roll over and give them everything they want. I don't know if that's what you expect, but like, no, we're going to get worse. I'm going to get worse personally, a lot worse. All right. So I don't know if you understand who you're dealing with here. We are not going to be crushed into submission. And the harder you squeeze, the more powerful our resistance will become. So I guess they can destroy the Republican Party. I guess that's their goal, or that's their, you know, they don't care. But essentially they're setting up the dichotomy where they're saying, look, either the Republican Party is going to be the Israeli party or we're going to destroy it. Because they're never going to allow the Marjorie Taylor Greens or the Nick Fuentes to actually have power. It's always going to be somebody who is obsessed and focused entirely on serving Israel with everything they've got. That's very infuriating. And like I said, I'm going to take your calls on all these topics. If you want to call, there's still some open lines. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. We'll go out to Oregon Bob first in Oregon on line one. Finish line there, Bob. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Last time I had a minute left.
2 minutes this time.
Yeah. Hey, 2 minutes. Hey, woohoo. Well, I'll tell you what you're touching on right now with Israel. Israel is a main topic with me. I see things more in the spiritual. And what's going on? It's like you had pictures of the Wailing Wall. Okay, well, you know, if we can't see things in the natural, he can't show us things in the spiritual. So when you look at it, Satan has to say everything he's doing. It's a Wailing Wall. Okay, he says, well, there's people that are going to be cast there where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I know that you reference that back to the word. Okay, and that's where they're going. They're going to an idol. They're going to something that was destroyed, and it's going to be destroyed again. There will not be one stone upon another. Okay, so now with that, this war that we're fighting, and where we're all, you know, we're fighting a good fight. Hey, I support InfoWars. I have for a long time on a real small budget, but I continue to because it helps me. It helps everyone. But here, you know, we're in this spiritual war, and when we look at this thing, and we look at the battle that we're fighting, Satan kills and destroys. Just like this man, this Jewish man that spent his father's inheritance and then killed his family. When he kills us, he's done with us. All the division and the parties, everything, it's all a good fight. But when we look at it in the natural, look at it in the spiritual. And, you know, Revelations is coming true in leaps and bounds. And no matter how much we kick or cry, God's going to have his way. And that's just the way that is. But I left some information with phone people on what methylene blue has done for me. Five years old.
Tell you what, we're going to break, but I will hold you over, Bob. So don't go anywhere. We'll go back to Bob and more of your calls on the other side. Stay with us. Division in the Republican Party. Can we save America with one side or the other?
This is a major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You got to be a VIP.
It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP, and you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to thealexshowstore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. Power Plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great. People love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric. Prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. The next 7 days, buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
He's so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, hey, Alex looks good, man. Yeah, he lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. We got Oregon Bob, who very clever, but I'm letting him get away with it. He had 2 minutes left at the end of the last segment. He waited the last 10 seconds to start plugging methylene blue. I think you knew, Bob, that I would hold you over because I do like when our audience brings up our products unprompted. After all, I was going to say you can't pay for that type of support, but we wouldn't, and you really can't. And again, we don't, you know, our call screeners. When our call screeners answer the call, they say, what's your name, where are you calling from, and what do you want to talk about? And people just bring up our products because that's how, you know, powerfully they feel about them. We never, ever, ever, you know, tell people to say stuff about our products. But, you know, people are compelled to do so. So, Oregon Bob, you played it well. You waited until the last 10 seconds. So I'm giving you another couple minutes here at the top of this segment. You were talking about methylene blue, sir.
I'll tell you what, I've been on the super food greens for a while, and I want to state I'm 65, so this message is for people 50 to 99. So anyway, I'm on the superfood greens, and I was pretty overweight, 338 pounds, and lost about 45, 50 pounds
wow.
right there with superfood greens, not really doing that much. Went into the gym just to see how in shape I was. I used to be in real good shape, and I benched 220, deadlifted 220, worked out a little bit, and was real sore the next day. But anyway, I work out about three times a week, real light. And so anyway, I get on the methylene blue about four months now. First month, I noticed a definite change in my energy. It just kind of was spiking. My mental clarity came back. But what I noticed is the weight started coming off, and my short-term memory's always been good. But all of a sudden, my long-term memory started coming back so clear.
Hmm.
Then I've been on it now, for, like I said, about 5 months, just ordered some more, and I've lost 120 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah, 120 pounds, and hey, I'm kicking it. I get up, and the first thing I do is hit the super greens and my methylene blue. And, hey, I'm a meth addict, 65-year-old methylene blue addict, you know?
That's awesome. I'd love to see some before and after pictures. That's amazing.
Oh, I do have some. I take very few pictures of myself, but a few people in the family are saying, hey, look what you look like then and look what you look like now. And hey, I'm running circles around my 18-year-old grandson, he just saying like, wow, should I try this? I said, yeah, give it a shot. He had to quit. Man, it amped that kid so hard. He was doing workouts to where he was getting heart palpitations and kicking the crap out of everybody else. And so anyway, we got him on 3 days a week, and we might cut him back to two. His nickname is Turbo.
Wow, it's too strong.
Yeah, it really is. But hey, for you folks out there that are having, just any kind of health issues as we get old, I'm also off all of my meds. No blood pressure, no nothing. I'm off everything, and good. Wow. We know what the pharmaceutical companies are. Pharmakia, poison.
Yep.
So anyway, what I want to say, one thing that I really do want to say, is you guys are fighting a good fight. We all are. Without you, we'd be lost. And I'll be real honest. I get $1,300 a month, and you guys get about $200 to $300 a month of that.
Oh my gosh!
I go without a lot of things, and if I can do that with my budget, you folks out there that got some cash that are holding back because you want to go out and have this or you want to have a steak, hey, lose a couple pounds, help yourself, help us, help Alex. He needs the help. The crew there has put up with a lot of shit. Oh, excuse me, a lot of crap.
All right.
And Harrison. I watch all the platforms, but I know the Lord's touched your heart. I know he's touched Alex's heart. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. Alex is. Many are called, few are chosen. Alex is chosen. I know I'm chosen. And there's a few others. There's a man by the name of Mike. He has the Coalition of Time website. This guy's background will shock Alex, and he is a modern day apostle. This guy is, he's a calling. He's a chosen one. And the information he has, Alex would be real interested in it. And then the other one, obviously, another one that's chosen is Jonathan Kahn. Just look back at his books. The guy's called Everything. He explains things in a way that he takes us back into the Jewish traditions. And he makes things clear. The things that are going on in Israel right now, Israel is the epicenter of the coming of Christ.
Well, yeah, and it's the center of the crossroads of the world too. Well, incredibly powerful stuff, Bob. That's Oregon Bob from Oregon, and I do want to get to some other callers. So,
you bet.
I'm sorry I have to cut you up, but man, powerful stuff. And we really do appreciate people going to the AlexJonesStore.com. And I can't imagine working, somewhere else like Fox News, Daily, in any of these other places. It is just not as pure as InfoWars is, as in it is just so simple for us. We tell you the truth. We offer you good products. We ask you to go buy them. If we don't uphold our end of the bargain, you're not going to go. That's not the case with other places. Other places, they don't really have to appeal to anybody. They don't really have to you know, convince their audience of anything, or, you know, connect with their audience in any way. The checks are going to roll in regardless. Big Pharma is going to be cutting them big chunks of change as long as they say the approved talking points. And that's not, like, we don't have that. We don't want that, but we don't have that. We have to have your support. We have to fulfill our end of the bargain and ask you to just help us in this mission. We don't have people behind the scenes just going, yeah, just say this and, you know, we'll make up the rest. We understand that not only do we have to do our job, hold up our end of the bargain, but what we're asking you is not a small sacrifice. We, again, are not supported by billionaires. We aren't, you know, supported by people who just have infinite money and can just, you know, toss away a couple $1,000s like it's not worth anything. Our audience works hard or is on fixed income or, you know, has had to build up their wealth from nothing. So we appreciate every time you go to thealexjonesstore.com and purchase a product. We understand that that's money you had to work hard for, that you weren't just given, and you're not just giving it to us, you know, to be nice. You know, you expect something in return. You get a fantastic product in return. We don't want you wasting your time. We don't want you wasting your money. And we don't want you, you know, supporting us and not getting something great in return, which is why we have this system that we have. We so appreciate your support. Genuinely could not do it without you. We do not take it for granted. And we cannot tell you how thankful we are for the people that go to thealexjonesstore.com and purchase a product. Even just one is great and does a lot to help us. But when you're a regular customer like Organ Bob, you're the type of person that really, really allows us to continue to stay on air and will continue to allow us to expand as we take a more and more important and prominent role in this ever-changing political landscape. So thank you so much, everybody who goes to thealexjonesstore.com, for supporting us. Man, there's a lot of stuff Organ Bob said. There was some other stuff I was going to get into. But we'll go to some other callers here. But again, I think there's a, I guess there's something that he said about, I don't know, anti-Semitism or Jews or Israel or something. And it's like, I don't know, one prerequisite for working at InfoWars is you have to just not let other people tell you what to think, ever. One way or the other, right? You're just not going to tell me how to feel about something, and you're not going to make me feel something about something anyway. So, like, over this weekend, I had so many people commenting on my stuff, totally not, like, things that just literally had nothing to do with Judaism or Israel or anything, and just, the people just cropping up in my comments going, oh, yeah, but why do you hate Israel so much? And just, like, really framing their comments to me in a way I think is deliberately designed to make me hate Jews. I really think that's their ultimate mission. Why else would you annoy somebody so relentlessly who's not even your enemy, who doesn't have a problem with you? I'm not an enemy of Jews. I don't hate Jews. I'm not an anti-Semite. And yet I got all these people constantly harassing me because they think I'm an anti-Semite. So I got a bunch of Jews basically just harassing and annoying me. And it's like, y'all are so lucky that I don't bend to pressure. I just don't. So it's like, you're not going to make me hate Jews. I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. I have a higher value system, and I'm not going to, fall for the division. And so even as we're talking about Israel or even, you know, making, you know, strident comments about Jewish organizations or Jewish individuals. So I do genuinely hope it comes across that, like, I'm against the evil people doing the evil things. And it genuinely does not matter to me what you call yourself or what you claim your ethnicity is. Are you a good person? Are you a bad person? Are you lying or telling the truth? What is your real motivation? That's all I genuinely care about. And I'm not going to let the very, very, very annoying Jewish people ruin it for the rest of them. So that's just how it is. Let's go to Deborah in Boston. Deborah, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I think I'm, like, officially a groupie now. We talked a couple of weeks ago about religion and stuff.
You are officially a regular caller. You're now on the list.
Yay. So as I was sitting here on hold, you know, I just have like so many thoughts about everything, and it really is difficult to put your thoughts into clear words. And again, this is what you are so naturally gifted at. There's a quote from Einstein that says, like, if you can't explain it to a child, you don't really understand it. Like, you have a serious gift. Mm. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you.
And also, I think in our, I think a lot of people know that our education system has been changed, whatever, since I think it was the Rockefellers. Like, we used to have training. We used to have classes, right,
yeah,
called rhetoric, where you learned how to make a case and argue a case.
Right. And, and you know, conversely, be able to see other tricks, rhetoricians. What's the word? People who use rhetoric use. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, but to be able to understand why you believe what you believe and explain it is very hard. And I don't know. Anyway, so about Israel and Jews and religion and stuff. So my experience, I come from like a Bible-thumping evangelical family.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I remember my reaction to some of the stories in the Old Testament, like being kind of shocked and like, oh, my God, that's weird. Wow, God is crazy.
right. God's kind of mean sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think like most people, we would view the Old Testament almost in like a children's Bible kind of a way. Like, oh, and then there's Noah's Ark and la, la, la. And then the Tower of Babel. And we never revisit it. We just kind of accept our little childhood. So I don't go to church anymore. I don't believe the same thing those people believe. And I think they just have a very simplistic sort of view. And I'm following a lot of different people on Twitter. I'm watching YouTube videos. And I pull open my Bible and go, holy crap, it's right there in front of my face.
Mm.
I think Christians in America don't really have a good grasp of basic things, like the difference between the word, you know, the words Hebrew, Israel, and Jew. They're
right.
Different. And it's a, you know, they were first called Hebrews. You know, there's other people that I follow that dig into all the different words that are used in the Old Testament that are just translated into God or
right,
the
right.
Lord. The word Yahweh, the name Yahweh, is never used by Jesus. You know, the word Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, it all matters. And so we just have like this airbrushed kind of version of the stories.
Right. If they're all translated with the same word, you're missing out on some of the nuances of the people involved. I mean, that's why the Septuagint is so important, because, you know, after the fall of the temple, all of the actual holy books were destroyed. The only translations, as far as I understand it, the only like surviving copies of the Old Testament were translated into Greek by the Septuagint, which was 70 translators who all translated the Old Testament. So anything that you have from the Old Testament comes from the Greek. So the Greeks translated the Old Testament into Greek with the Septuagint. Then all of the original books were lost. And now everything they have has been translated from the Greek back into Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever else. At least that's my understanding. I haven't, you know, done a big look into this, but, you know, Greek is a very specific language. Like, you say things in Greek in a way that is really hard to misinterpret just because of the structure of their language. It's almost like the perfect language, which again is why you look at, is why I look at religion in context with history, understanding that the Bible is history. It's also interweaved with history. It also shows that God changes over time with history, or things are put into place that might not be obvious at first. For example, like maybe the entire reason Alexander was able to conquer the whole known world at the time was just so that language would be seeded throughout the entire area. So that language, the Greek language, could be the vessel by which the gospel was revealed, because you needed to have a common language in order to have a common era, in order to spread the word. Maybe the reason the Roman Empire spread like it did, why God allowed the Roman Empire to spread like it did, was so that it would create a massive class of slaves that could be converted into Christianity. If you didn't have the slave class in Rome, you didn't have the kindling for the fire of Christianity to spread. It's like all of these things happen for a reason, and they happen exactly like they're supposed to. When you go back in the Old Testament and you see the way God treated the, or God told the Jews to treat their neighbors, that sort of stuff, that's because that was, it was in the Bronze Age. That's how they had to treat other people. They wouldn't have been around if they were nicer. They wouldn't still exist if they acted like Jesus in the Bronze Age. They all would have been slaughtered by their neighbors. So, you know, Judaism or, you know, what became Christianity before Jesus, I always explain like the egg, it's like the hard shell of an egg. It's like the egg needs to act like an egg. Even though the point of the egg is to eventually lead to a bird, if the egg acts like a bird, it's going to fall out of the tree and crack and be destroyed. The egg is hard and tough and doesn't move. That was the old Judaism. Tough, brutal, you know, eradicating their enemies. But it was all just in service of Christianity, of the bird coming forth eventually. So now you've got a bunch of people spent their whole time worshiping the egg who want to reform the egg, recreate the egg, because they think if they can get that egg back together, the real bird will come out. It's like the bird's already flown. It's already out. It's already flown. You're trying to cobble together shells now. God only knows what creation's going to come out of it. So yeah, you read the Old Testament, God seems brutal because it was a brutal time. It was a brutal age. Not everything, not all the pieces had been put in place for the real revelation to come, which it was all building to, which was the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you gotta take all of history in with the, you know, revelation, with the, you know, spiritual goings on as well. The secular goings on are intertwined and related to all of those things. So anyway, fascinating stuff. Let's go to, thanks so much for the call, regular Deborah from Boston. Let's go to Jesse in South Carolina now. Jesse, you're on the air about all this religious nonsense.
Yeah, sir. The biggest thing I think about it, like, as far as, like, Jews and Christians, whatever, man, like, whatever. The biggest weight that we as Christians hold is that we incorporate the Old Testament with the New Testament. It's nothing that Jews do. In fact, Jews don't even think that Jesus Christ was a prophet. Do they?
No.
Right? At least reasonable Muslims think that Jesus Christ was a prophet.
Well, here's a question. If Jesus Christ isn't the Messiah, where all of it? Why did the prophets stop coming? I mean, the Jews had prophets pretty regularly for a couple thousand years there.
Right.
Why'd they stop?
That is not a question for me to answer.
No, it just goes along with what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing, that Christians hold this big bite, right? When the Bible is not that big. When, if you're a Christian or a believer in Christ, let's say, or a believer in the good news, right? That the Bible is not that big. Jesus did not say that many things.
Right.
When you read the red words in the Bible, right? What Jesus said.
It's like 2 hours of talking.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
No, well, that's, I mean, again, that is the things. It's like, okay, even if you didn't believe Jesus at the time, like if you were there in Jerusalem hearing Jesus talk, I wouldn't blame you for not believing him. Sounds crazy. But now knowing that the world like revolves on this axis of this guy who, for all intents and purposes, we have about 2.5 hours of his words and they changed the world forever for all of time continually since then. It's like, did you not seem a little something special with that? You know, that doesn't seem like something completely out of the ordinary, wild, and dare I say, like, divine in all of this. No, that's normal to you. Just some dude shows up, completely shatters the philosophical paradigm of the location where he is, dies, and then 2,000 years later, we're still arguing about his words. I mean, yes, something special, man.
5-pound book, you know,
yeah,
like, for no reason. When it was just his word that mattered. Just his word that mattered. Just the red word in the Bible that mattered.
Mm.
And toting around all these Jewish nonsense things that I think the Muslims are more on our side.
Well, they definitely revere Jesus and the Virgin Mary. I mean, again, if Jesus wasn't the Messiah, then where are the prophets? And if there are still prophets, then how is Muhammad not one of them? I mean, to me, Islam, for all intents and purposes, is just a sect of Judaism that just believes that there continued to be prophets after Jesus. And, I don't know if that makes sense to me. But yeah, it also just doesn't make a lot of sense anyway, because Jesus clearly said he was the Son of God, not a prophet. So, I mean, how can you revere Jesus and then ignore his own statement about who he is and his identity and why he came to earth? That doesn't comport with me, but it's an interesting observation, Jesse. Thank you for that call. Time for one more call. We'll go to Jason in Canada. Go ahead. Jason, you're on the air with about 2 minutes left in the show or in this segment before we bring on Rex Jones. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I'm on topic, I guess. Some people took some words out of my mouth, but I would just encourage all Christians out there to not divorce yourself from the wisdom in the Old Testament. It's ours as well. It doesn't belong to just Jewish people. And also, Judaism is it's a derivation of the Torah. I just wanted to bring up some popular misconceptions that maybe will open up people's minds. For one, there's a lot of misconceptions just around Jews in general, and that, you know, they are not the sum total of Israel. And go through the Old Testament, you'll find they're one tribe out of 12. And Moses himself, who brought the law, was not a Jew. He was a Levite. And his successor that brought them into the land was from the tribe of Joseph. So we see today sort of this misconception that they have claimed to the Old Testament, they have claimed all the land, et cetera. And, you know, on top of that, it's really about your works. Like, you were cut off from Israel if you were evil.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just really messed up. It's one of the most messed up things to talk about. It's actually getting quite tedious that, you know, I'm the last one to talk about it. But I would just encourage everybody, read the Bibles for yourselves, including the New Testament. There are overwrites that are Constantinian as well that were used to manipulate, et cetera. So with a grain of salt, get the wisdom from these old, old books. They're very precious. And let's all just try to be good to one another. And let's validate our own faith by the fruits that we produce in our own lives.
Could not agree with you more. I'm sorry, we got to go to commercial break. Thank you so much for the call, Jason, and the other callers that want to stay on the air. We'll probably take calls with Rex Jones. I know he's coming in right now. We'll go to a little video, John Bowne report, in this first 5 minutes, and then probably get right back into this. Because again, I mean, this is the central fulcrum upon which American politics is moving right now. We got to focus on it. We got to try to contend with it. And then we can never talk about it again. Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason. Because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to the AlexJonesStore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% humanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. Be right back. The Daily Mail's got it. Safety fears at Florida nuclear plant, as bombshell report says, staff too scared to speak out about the dangers. And it's the same all over the country, and it's the same in Europe. France is the biggest per capita user of nuclear power. They have constant leaks, constant disasters, constant cover-ups. You have mainline groups, people with Geiger counters, scientist groups. And they know from the isotopes it's coming out of the damn reactors. And they're just kind of, a little radiation, not a problem. And they're not just spewing general radiation, they're spewing particles. And if you get a particle out of one of these in your lungs, within a few months to a year, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. But I want in this short segment to just get a very important story. I am anti-nuclear power. And I'm a populist. I'm a conservative. I was brought up conservative and, you know, brought up 1970s, 80s. America can do no wrong. Technology is the way to go. Nuclear power is the way to go. Liberals don't like it. Well, those are the old-fashioned liberals that were right on not wanting fluoride in the water. And it was the liberals that knew the shots were killing people back then. They were wrong on social policy and things, but they were right about nuclear power. Yeah, it's an interesting technology, but the way corporations behave and run things, it's not just here. Look at the Japanese. Very able people. They make, you know, the best cars, hands down. They like to have quality. They like to, you know, do a good job. You've seen what's happened with their reactors and the bad decision to build them on some of the worst fault lines and things. A lot of them are built on fault lines here and tsunami zones. And you see the Russians and their reactors blowing up. And then there were a lot of reactors blew up in the U.S. starting in the 50s that didn't even become public until the 80s. Oh, yeah, it was a big reactor blew up in the 50s in about L.A. Radiated everybody. They just covered it up. And cancer exploded in the rest of it. So we need coal. We need gas. We need oil. It's basically unlimited. It's good. It makes plants grow. Global warming's a lie. It's all a fraud. Carbon dioxide in our history has been way higher than it is now. Sea levels haven't risen. And there's 450-something industrial power output reactors in the world. There's thousands of military ones and even more secret ones, I can tell you. They put them in space powering stuff. Real smart. And you can have one of those fall into out of orbit and come through and detonate. And it's just a disaster. And if there is ever collapse of civilization or something, those reactors will basically all melt down. If there's a nuclear war, they'll all melt down. And they're super radioactive compared to a hydrogen bomb detonating. People don't know. Okay? Those are clean compared to these. So it's playing with the devil's fire. It's out of control. And there's a bunch of articles out of Florida. A Daily Mail's got it. Safety fears at Florida nuclear plant, as bombshell report says, staff too scared to speak out about the dangers. And it's the same all over the country, and it's the same in Europe. France is the biggest per capita user of nuclear power. They have constant leaks, constant disasters, constant cover-ups. You have mainline groups, people with Geiger counters, scientist groups. And they know from the isotopes it's coming out of the damn reactors, and they're just kind of, a little radiation, not a problem. And they're not just spewing general radiation. They're spewing particles. And if you get a particle out of one of these in your lungs, within a few months to a year, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. So this stuff is dirty. It is a bad technology. It's 1940s technology. We got stuff way better and cleaner. But instead, to power all of the data centers for AI, they said they're going to build hundreds of new little neighborhood safe ones. Oh, they're so safe. Safe and effective like the COVID shots, right? Safe and effective like fluoride. So now at the St. Lucie nuclear plant, they're reporting hundreds of bad events that they report and then they get in trouble or threatened. And by the way, the nuclear industry, they've, I'm not going to say they're doing this here, but you know, there's famous movies on true stories where they kill your ass when you talk.
All right, so folks, no, that is the latest from Alex Jones. Finally, share that on his X at Real Alex Jones. We are in studio with Rex Jones on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks.
This is a major alert for the AlexJonesStore.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 for the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either T-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting the shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought at the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support because we cannot do this without you.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of The American Journal is on. I'm joined in studio by the one and only Rex Jones. Rex, how are you doing today?
Always good to be back with Unc Harrison. It's always good to be on The American Journal. It's always good to be live with you. I mean, I'm a fan of the show, like I always say. So let's just get into it, man.
Well, it's an exciting time, man, especially politically with the all the divisions happening. I know you're a big fan of Nick Fuentes, as am I. Did you watch his Tucker Carlson?
Oh yeah,
well, report. We did. My goodness,
we did a reaction to it, man. We did a little.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Little, yeah, yeah, yeah. We did the whole. Well, but that was the debate between him and Alex. But the
Tucker video.
The Tucker video.
Oh yeah, no, I've watched that thing probably twice. It's like 3 hours long. I mean, we're talking about like an orator. When you're talking about someone that has the ability to speak and to communicate a message, I don't think there's anybody better. And like, that's why I personally am such a huge fan. There are things that I disagree with Fuentes on 100%, but I mean, just looking at the scale of ability, like there really is no comparison.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, it's the narrative, right? It's laying out the narrative of what's really going on behind the scenes. And
it's just kind of odd, you know, like I like Tucker and everything, but why you got a photo in Nicaragua and you're like in your early 20s and you got the strap?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. Because, you know, clearly, cause I'm a fan of Tucker Carlson as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's weird that he said he didn't know his dad was the CIA when he did know that. Like, why would he lie about that? That's a little bit suspicious to me. At the same time, like, I'm watching Nick's thing and, you know, occasionally he gets into, he's like, you know, they were down there, you know, stopping the communists from taking over South America. And it's like, all right, well, I'm kind of in favor of that. I can kind of see where, like, if you're the Tucker Carlson type and you're like, well, this, you know, American hegemony and there are these communists trying to take over these countries and we helped them to avoid being taken over.
I think that this gets into a much wider and larger and bigger point. And this is a point I was discussing with the crew while you were on air, right? It's just like, we got all these factions involved and the kind of narrative is it's left versus right, man. And like, we got to stop the liberals or we got to stop the evil Trumpers, whatever it is. No, there's like 20 different groups of people. Everybody has their own interests that they serve. Everyone has their own power structure that they serve. And I like the point that Alex makes on the show now, which is it really seems that like the left was beaten into submission and then the pro-Israel lobby is making a run at taking over our country fully.
Yeah.
So that's what I personally subscribe to. And whatever the deal with Fuentes is, I believe he's for real because I haven't seen any evidence that he isn't. And I don't think you can fake that kind of live performance. It's hard to talk to cameras. It's really difficult. So like all in all, I think there's an element of, you know, the older unks, or like, I guess, Candace would be an aunt, but like worried about
the auntie.
Young nephew coming in and stealing their thunder. But I do think it's a little more than that. I think that they recognize that there are positions that they hold. Like Tucker will always say, I love Israel. I love Israel. I don't love Israel. Me saying that right here. I don't love Israel. Like, that's a very easy value judgment to make based on the apartheid and the killing of the children and the genocide and the starvation and all that stuff. So if you're still having to qualify the statements that you're making as in like, oh, I love Israel. Israel's fine, but oh, Netanyahu, oh, it's bad. You got to go. You know, like, doesn't like 80% of the population support what's going on in Gaza?
Something yeah, like that's what I've heard. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe if we can pull that graphic up on screen. It's a very public and popular poll.
Yeah.
Well, and search.
There was a video that was going viral last week. I'm not sure if we ever played it. I do think I had it at one point, but it's Israeli podcasters, and they're, you know, very open about it. They're like, you know, when we're out, you know, dancing and clubbing in Israel, mm-hmm. we enjoy
yeah,
it
we
more.
Yeah, we get off on it. Yeah,
because we know that there are people starving in Gaza, and it's like, that's sick. And I mean, you know.
Dude, and I feel like that's never been the American attitude. Like, even like when we go to war and we kill people, we don't have the attitude of, oh, we're going to the music festival and the Vietnamese can't go to the music festival. So screw
right.
them. Like, no, I think Americans have always understood at a certain level, and we're protected by two big oceans and we have all this beautiful geography and whatnot. But if you mess with someone, they come for your neck. This is what happens. And the only reason why the Israelis mess with the Palestinians on the degree that they do is because they believe they have some sort of like mandate of heaven, like Mao, as in like, oh, we can do whatever we want. And you people are cavemen, so you'll never have the weapons or missiles to stop us.
Right.
And when you have a big country like Iran, or even a little country like Yemen, that threatens American and therefore Israeli hegemony in the region. Right? Like when the Yemenis are launching missiles at our ships and we got to take evasive action and the F-16 goes overboard, like, I don't think they expected that. And that's right. why that 12-day war was a 12-day war. Let's right. look at that. 32% in U.S. back Israel's military action in Gaza, a new low. It should not be that high.
Right.
It should not be that high. It should be like 15%. And we go, okay, these are the crazy people.
right. The 15% yeah. fringe.
But if you look at that, it's like 30%. That's kind of like the MAGA base, to be honest with you. That's kind of like that. It's that number, you know, like Trump's approval rating with independents has gone with the liberals. It's always horrible. But with the Republicans, it's been stable. It's been like 80-90%. So,
well, and you know, I even relate it to, there's a post I saw today that was somebody posting something about Abraham Lincoln and mm-hmm. all this. And, you know, some foreigner, you know, migrant to America responds going, you know, the real problem was Abraham Lincoln didn't arrest every single Confederate, you know, leader and hang them on the steps of the White House. And it's like, that's because that's not what we do.
Well, that person's ignorant of American history because, right. as we know, the Reconstruction period was a period
brutal.
Where, yes, but it was a period where, like, there could have been more conflict, there could have been more fighting, but people like Ulysses S. Grant came in and shut all that stuff down.
Oh, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee's his whole thing was like, we could keep fighting some guerrilla war and 100,000 more people could die, or y'all surrender and we can shake hands. I mean, literally you have people today who have more animus and hate for Confederates than the Union soldiers. I mean, the Union soldiers, this picture, they're shaking hands with the Confederates. They would have picnics together and go, yeah, we were enemies, but now we buried the hatchet and we moved together as brothers. And like that idea is so foreign to people outside of the West, outside of like, you know, our mindset. It is dog eat dog, crush your enemy into the dirt, you know, kill their children.
That's what
it's brutal. And it's not how we do things.
Israel says rise and kill them first.
Yeah.
That is their motto for war, for fighting, is to rise and kill them first. And the point that I've heard Fuentes make, which I 100% agree with, is that applies to us. That applies to us. And if there really ever is an anti-Israel sentiment that truly like gestates itself in America and results in some sort of candidate being elected or some people with actual positions of power, like cutting off the aid and whatnot, I believe they would attack us, you know, and some would say that's already happened.
I mean, you hear, you know, prominent people in America say that, you know, Europeans have anti-Semitism in their DNA. And it's like, I've made that point many times, like, okay, they keep calling Palestinians Nazis. Who else do they call Nazis? I mean, it's not that far-fetched.
It's so messed up because the Palestinians, like if you look at the genealogy and the DNA studies that have been done, those are the people that are the closest related to Jesus. Like,
right.
They live right there. They live in his home. And Israel, like Jesus said, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves, referring to the temple. We've turned Jesus's home into a graveyard.
That's brutal.
I mean, look at this. Like, it's just, it's unconscionable. And that's why I have no issue speaking out about it, is because it's literally cartoon bad.
Right.
And if anyone wants ever to go, oh, vicious anti-Semite, oh, it's like, you've killed tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of women and children. Like, good grief. Get it together. Use your brain. You are the Nazi. You are the Nazi.
I have to laugh because it is so ridiculous to have to be defending.
It's wild. It's crazy. And like, they call themselves like, we are the light of the world. We are Israel.
Right.
It's like, no, you're like the dark pit. Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
It's brutal. And yeah, it's tragic. And you go, I was reading the New Testament and it's like, and Jesus then went into Gaza. And it's like, oh man, literally Jesus walked around
in
these places.
Went into Gaza.
Yeah.
You know, after that, you know, a couple thousand years.
Ended a little different in that situation. And there's so much that it's funny. I actually texted Nick because I was watching a clip of his where he's talking about the rise and kill first thing. And that's the name of a very good book, by the way. Everybody should go read this book. It's by a guy named Ronan, I believe. And he's an Israeli journalist, and he interviewed a bunch of Israelis for this book called Rise and Kill First. And it's the history of the targeted killing, methods that Israel uses to end its enemies. And it goes way back to, you know, the end of the Second World War, where you had these Jewish organizations that would basically kidnap prisoners of war to execute them, you know, in complete contravention of
the Nazi hunting.
Yeah, the Nazi hunting type stuff. But I mean, they would do it in, you know, English uniforms and, you know, pretend, oh, yes, this is the king says we need these prisoners over here. And then they would just slaughter all of them. I mean, just brutal stuff.
Like putting on police officer outfit from the costume store.
Yeah, well, pretty much. And then the English would discover this. And instead of like making it public, they would send them all. But here's a funny story. Well, I don't know if it's a funny story, but this is why I take this type of stuff seriously, is because I had a friend in Houston, went to the nicest Jewish private school in Houston, and he would talk about how they would play videos of Mossad assassinations and tell the classroom, this is what we do to our enemies. This is why they don't mess with us. This is how powerful we are. Look at this. And they would like show videos of, you know, Mossad with people from Belgium and France and all over the place. They all gathered together in Dubai or, you know, wherever to assassinate a Palestinian leader. And, you know, to us, we would see news reports about this and it's like, oh my gosh, this assassination plot. And oh my God, how horrible. They, you know, poisoned this guy in his hotel room. And it's just crazy. But, you know, in Houston, in this private school, the teachers are showing the kids videos going, this is what we do to our enemies. This is, you know, if anybody stands against us, this is how we treat them.
I feel in a same sort of sick way that kind of culture has infected America, because that's, like, I'm friends with a lot of people, you know, and I'm friends with some guys that are, like, currently, like, in the military and whatnot. And, like, I've heard it, like, yeah, it's important that everyone knows we're tough.
Right.
We're a big guy. We're a big boy. And it's just like, yeah, sure, it's important we have a strong military. It's important that we can defend ourselves and our legitimate allies. But this whole attitude of, like, overwhelming force, we will crush you. We are not the biggest country. We are not the country with the most resources. We are the country with the most bad relationships. Why are we doing this? It's because they do it and then we imitate them because we are their vassal.
Mm.
That is the behavior, and it's learned helplessness. It's Munchausen by proxy. It's us like, oh, we are evil empire. We are this monster. Yes, well, Israel, push us around in the wheelchair.
Well, that's the kind of thing. It seems to me like you've got these guys like Lindsey Graham, these others where they.
Lady G,
you ask them for like, you know, well, what about America? And it's like, well, you know, we got to be understanding.
We lack America, but Israel's
not. Yeah, and we, you know, but inside of them, they have this like desire to be like, we will crush them into the dirt, but they'll never do that for America. But then it's like with Israel, for some reason, they feel that they're allowed to do that. It's like they feel like, okay, when it comes to Israel, I can be brutal. I can talk tough. I can say we're going to stomp them into the dirt. We're going to nuke them. We're going to glass the whole area. And it's like for some reason, they're given this outlet to speak like that on Israel, but they would never speak that to America. So yeah, the whole like tough guy thing. It's like, okay, you're the tough guy and your daughter is an OnlyFans model and you know, your son just cut his dick off. So how tough are you really? Or are you doing this all in service of foreigners who hate you? Like how tough do you really feel, you know, when you're going around banging your chest and your whole country is being stolen out from underneath you and all of the benefits are going to Israel?
Well,
how tough are you really?
Let me tell you, you want to be tough? Next time we're in studio, me and you, we're going to grow our sideburns out. We're going to put kippas on, and it's going to get real wild in here. It's going to get
real
wild.
Should we become Jewish? Maybe that's the tactic, is we can take this by going, hey, as a Jew, I want to tell my fellow Jews what's going on here.
Well, this is the thing, and this is a key point, and I've tweeted this out on Twitter or X or whatever, so it's no secret. Like, my mother is Jewish. I'm a Christian. That's what I identify as, but I am ethnically Jewish because it descends matrilineally.
Oh my
gosh. So I can say whatever I want.
He's admitting it.
I can say whatever I want. I just name myself and I name you as a terrorist state. So that's how it works. Go. Shalom. Right?
Dang it. Yeah. You're lucky. I want to be able to do that.
Right, right.
No, but okay. So we have time. Okay. Cause I want to read this. This is a long statement from Sam Parker, but I really feel like this is a great jumping off point for the conversation. Sam Parker at Based Sam Parker says this about Tucker and Candace and Nick Fuentes. Again, this isn't about drama. This isn't gossip. This is the future of American
politics. It's a huge
story.
It's the biggest story right now.
It absolutely is, and nobody else is covering it in the way that we can. So the recent feud between Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Nick Fuentes isn't looking so much like an interpersonal feud due to some kind of disagreeableness on Nick's part, as Candace and Tucker have tried to portray. I think it's looking more like a strategic narrative and population control operation for preserving support for Israel within the emerging populist right. Let me explain how this might be working. Granted, this is speculative, but I think it tracks. Tucker operates as a, quote, sanctioned dissent, offering critiques of Israel that resonate with populist audiences but never actually threaten Israel's legitimacy. He even says Israel's a great country, we should still support Israel. He says we should have certain conversations in a responsible way that don't descend into evil anti-Semitism. Candace, meanwhile, functions as a controlled frontier negotiator, demonstrating how far right voices can go in criticizing Israel before triggering institutional backlash. She firmly told Tucker in the podcast that she doesn't support Israel under any circumstances, while she delves into various anti-Semitic conspiracy theories while insisting she's not actually anti-Semitic. She has a Jewish producer, after all. Together, they formed their own dialectic for and against Israel. While protecting broad Jewish power, they remain friends and strategic partners overall, despite their opposite views on Israel. Their coordinated distancing from Nick, who openly embraces anti-Semitism, exposes broad Jewish power, and criticizes the official Holocaust narrative, isn't about truth. It's about managing the boundary of acceptable dissent. Owens pushes too far and becomes the cautionary tale for dissident takes. Tucker says stays based but respectable. Nick gets scapegoated by both, establishing the gatekeeper line not to be crossed by anyone on either side of the Israel question.
Can I jump in?
And he goes on, but yeah, what's your take on this so far?
I think it's key. During Nick's monologue, he spoke of overdosing on red pills.
Right.
And like, oh, they have the red pills in the medicine cabinet. Mom and dad, call poison control. Little Jimmy ate all the red pills.
Right.
That is what it comes down to. Like, yeah, it's cool to be based. It's cool to know about the border and gun control and the left and the libs, but it's not cool to talk about the wars that we start everywhere on behalf of another country. It's not cool to talk about the wars we won't end on behalf of another country. It's all interconnected, but the bigger topics are what they don't want you to talk about. It's like they bring you to a buffet and you got steak and you got pasta and you got all kinds of delicious things. And they got like a thing of wafers. Mm. Like, yeah, you could eat the wafer. You know, eat enough of them, your stomach will be full. You won't be hungry anymore. But you're like, yeah, it doesn't have any protein. It doesn't taste good. It's not real. But it's still food.
Yeah,
it's still food. It's still based, bro. It's still based. It's still a yummy snack. No, we don't want the yummy snack. We want the whole enchilada. We want the truth. This is what we demand as American citizens.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, but I do think there's a threat of overdosing on red pills in that you gotta be able to maintain your sanity. You gotta be able to see through. And the thing is, it's not about avoiding certain topics or like not getting into certain topics. It's about being able to take on those topics and remain grounded, well, remain focused.
Certain things aren't red pills. Certain things are retarded. Okay.
And what I mean by overdosing on red pills is like you go from thinking everything is just totally normal and good. And suddenly like there's a crack in the armor and you go, well, wait, this isn't quite right. And suddenly you're questioning everything. And a lot of people just go off the deep end and just go, everything's a lie. Everything's fake. I'm going to go live in the woods or whatever. So like that I think is overdosing on red pills. Like I feel so lucky that I was red pilled by your dad and others in like 2003. So I've had a long, slow, you know, 20-year glide to where I'm at. A lot of people are going from no red pills to 100,000 red pills in an afternoon, and they can crack. So like, I'm not saying that we're here to like, well, pump the brakes. Don't look into some of those things. You should look into all of those things. You should just do it in a responsible manner so you don't alienate yourself from your friends and family.
You should do it by looking at true journalistic coverage and not punditry. Okay.
True.
So like the big problem is, you know, political identities become people's entire identity. And in fact, you are a human. You are a spiritual being. You contribute to the economy. Like we have lives, is my point. We're people. We live in a society, and politics are downstream of culture. And it all starts with, you know, how we act and how we behave. And I just think it comes down to people being worse. People are worse nowadays. So even when people get good information, they go crazy with it.
Yeah.
Because we're all poisoned by osmosis because of what we've consumed for decades. Like the predictive programming and everything's all there. Like we're all Looney Tunes. We're all crazy. We're supposed to be like on a farm or something with horses. Like right. We're on the cell phone. I'm sitting in the studio with Harrison. I got the mic. I look at myself on TV. Like,
oh, it's crazy. There's a great meme quote about that where they're like, you know, I'm supposed to be doing all of this with a brain designed to find berries. You know,
exactly.
It's like we are living
in a cave.
We've extended beyond our natural capabilities, but not really. I mean, but we can handle this and you can handle
it.
Everybody can handle the truth.
That's right.
The thing is that people go so off the rocker that it's almost like every time you want to go in to listen to a new person, you just need to wipe the slate clean of your own mind and go, I'm just going to take this for what it is. I'm going to take the context that's in it, but I'm not going to let this guy dictate my view. And even if I strongly feel, you know, in line with what he's saying, at the end of it, I'm going to take a step back, try to put it in context, try to fit it with everything else I believe, and not just sort of, you know, I feel like people, they see the white rabbit, they start chasing the white rabbit, and everything else gets blocked out, and they get tunnel vision, just the white rabbit, and they chase it.
Exactly.
I think that would be overdosing on red pills.
For me, I would define the overdosing on red pills as like, I just bought a iPad. So I can put Twitter on it and not have it on my phone.
Because
every time I open Twitter or X, I see dead kids. I see dead children. And I see their faces when I'm not online.
Right.
And I think about it. And like, don't you too? Don't you think about it? And like, you think about these freaking monsters in Israel and in our own government and our Congress and our Senate, unfortunately in the White House, that just say, oh, well, you know, just stop seeing those pictures.
Right.
You know, let's just stop seeing them, you know, yeah, give them some food so we can stop seeing the photos. That's what Trump said about the, like, getting the aid in like a month ago.
Just so we can stop seeing this.
It's not good for us. It's not good for our domestic politics. It would be the most uniting, freeing, greatest thing that ever happened to this country if we rose up and said no to this. And we could do it. And he could do it with a phone call. But he will not do it because of whatever reason. So.
Right. And that's where the speculation comes in. And I guess
ODing on red pills is just like, once you realize that so much is bad, you have a hard time finding the good in anything.
Right. Exactly. Right? And that's my point is like, I think it's something special about Alex and Owen and you and all of us is that like, we have families. We go out. We have a good time. We are a part of society. We run errands.
We have friends. Yeah.
Because the overdosing on red pills is when you're just online all the time and you have this totally warped view of what reality is like. You got to go out and interact with people. You'll see A, that it's not so bad. B, that, you know, we're winning a lot. And you also have to understand that your awareness of something is not because that thing is just now coming about. And that's something that I think people need to understand is they hear like how bad things are now.
It's kind of guilt. Well, it's kind of guilt in a weird way.
What do you mean?
Oh, this has been happening. I didn't know about it.
Yeah. Well, then they get, and then you get mad, right?
Right.
You're like, because then once you see it, it's so obvious you get mad at other people for not seeing it, even though you didn't see it a little while ago. And, you know, again, I think part of it is people, they hear what's happening and they get urgent. They go, oh my God, the house is on fire. We got to put the fire out. And it's like, guys, the house has been on fire for 150 years. Don't freak out. Now, I'm glad you recognize the house on fire and let's work towards putting the fire out. But just because you're learning about this for the first time doesn't mean it's just happening for the first time. It's actually been happening for a while and we're making major strides, you know, to correct this phenomenon.
It's like the house keeps burning down and they build like a newer, slightly crappier house right next to it. And they go, live in there. And then it burns down and they build a worse one. Live in there. Yeah. And just keep moving
it
down.
It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing that you said there about just the failure of us to even contend with like the information that we're seeing.
Right.
I want to get into testosterone with you because it's gone viral. But the idea that testosterone, makes you more likely to go with your gut, more likely to basically not be swayed by public opinion, not be swayed by, peer pressure. I think that is a major, major important event going on right now where you see testosterone levels collapsing across the world, and perfectly in line with that, you see the inability for good people to stand up against the evil. All of this is deeply intertwined. It's a spiritual war. It's a chemical war, and we'll keep waging it on the other side of this quick commercial break. Stay with us.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, fog lifting, to just over the top, crying, it feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest Ultra Methylene Blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peeking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike.
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened to it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effects.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theallstarsword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it, I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5 hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. So I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, it made my vision better. And Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling it as a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Hey!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. My guest is the one and only Rex Jones. You can follow him on X now at at Rex Jones News with a Z. News with a Z on the end. Rex Jones News. You're having a lot of fun on X.
Having a good time.
I can tell.
Oh yeah.
So this is one of the things that we've covered on this show a lot and for years. And it's, well, obviously it just goes into the rest of everything Alex has always said about poisons in our food and water, the way that our hormones are being manipulated. And it is the effect of testosterone on men and how higher testosterone, people have this idea that it would make you more aggressive. It might make you like meaner or like less patient.
Makes you bald and based, folks. It makes you real bald and real based.
It makes you bold and based. It does not make people more aggressive. It actually makes people more fair, and it doesn't make people like ignore what other people think. It makes them just, I guess it does. I guess it does kind of make them ignore, but not in a bad way. It just allows you to ignore peer pressure. There are these amazing effects of testosterone. And again, we've talked about this forever. I did a long report one time talking about how mercury, actually this goes hand in hand with mercury. Mercury lowers testosterone. So RFK Jr. just took mercury out of the vaccines.
I'm removing it.
He removed it. He removed mercury from the vaccine. So mercury lowers your testosterone. And so by lowering your testosterone, it almost cuts you off. It's like you're an antenna that's tuned to the world around you, and lowering your testosterone brings the static in. You're sort of not quite tuned in. You're not quite on the exact number on the radio dial, and you're a little bit fuzzier in your perception.
Well, let me make some points here. Yeah. So when we look at testosterone, people go, oh, that's a hormonal thing, like erections, muscle, like motivation, whatnot. That's what people think about when they think of test, just being honest. When in reality, testosterone is a neurotransmitter, and its job in the body is to make effort feel good. So this is why someone with a high testosterone level is more likely to like go off on an extreme adventure or a new business venture or something exciting or daring or risky. It really is something that allows men specifically to overcome the fear of the risk to get to the reward.
No
and
way.
When you look at that, that's a good society, isn't it?
I had no idea. That's
exactly
amazing.
How it works. So when you look at test and you look at the lowering test levels across the West, it's mainly due to, in my view, the obesity crisis.
Right.
Now, if you have more fat tissue, you have more aromatase enzyme, and that's the thing that converts testosterone into estrogen. So the fatter you are, the less testosterone you will have, the lower your free testosterone will be, and the higher your estrogen will be.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And on top of the estrogen mimickers and the plastics and the food and water, I mean,
exactly.
There's no accidental, like, industrial, we raised your testosterone. Like, for some reason that never happens. There's never something that accidentally raises testosterone, which is,
Well, it's everything that we talk about in regards to the supplements. It's the high inflammatory environment. It's right. The being fat and out of shape. It's the being unmotivated itself. They've done studies, and I'll try to show one. We'll pull it up next show or something, where, you know what the best thing you can do to raise your testosterone is? The number one thing you can do? Go to prison.
Really?
If you go to prison, your nuts just turn on, man. Cause you're in like, I'm in a cage and there's a bunch of other dudes and I gotta be strong. I gotta fight. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So like you go to prison, like it's like a 30% increase. It's like something crazy.
That's fascinating.
That's a big reason why all those guys are jacked too. Like they're in
that makes sense.
Yeah, they get to sleep all the time. They're in a high stress environment and they have to be tough.
Right.
And your body, literally, that's the beautiful thing about the human body. That's why we're created by God. Your body will literally listen to your environment and it will respond in hand.
Right.
So you look at what we're dealing with now with the soy boy and, you know, like the just effeminate American culture. And you can say that's going away and we're returning to traditionalism, whatever. I go to Walmart. I go to Target.
Right.
I see the people. It is pretty bad. So
we're not winning a war anytime soon.
We're not sending our best, as Trump would say.
Yeah.
But when you look at all these things, all the things they're doing to us, it's really just controlled, slow poisoning, boiling the frog in the pot of boiling water over time. And like that's why it's important to consider supplementary things that you can do to help raise your testosterone. Also just eating a high protein diet, consuming a lot of zinc, getting sun. These are very basic things that a lot of people don't even know how to do.
Right.
Like every morning I wake up at like 5 a.m. whatever. I don't need an alarm clock. I just wake up and then I go outside at like 6:30 and I get the beautiful morning sun in my eyes for like 10 minutes. And I do the same thing every night. So you get those strange hued colors, those purples, those violets, those yellows. Science has shown that that's actually what locks in your circadian rhythm. So there are all these like little basic tips and tricks to do, like squatting and deadlifting massively raises your testosterone. It's an incredibly hard action. It puts stress on the entire body. But people don't know about these things.
Yeah.
People know about Lizzo and Love Island. So it is what it is, right?
No, that, yeah, that's fascinating. It is always fascinating to me the way the human body, changes to meet its, you know, new condition. In fact, it's funny. When I was having, I wasn't really having beef with Nick Fuentes when we were arguing about the woman meme,
whatever. Wife Jack.
Wife Jack. Yeah, the Wife Jack meme. And it was funny because he posted something going, you know, when men get married, their testosterone lowers. And, you know, he was pointing out like, okay, that means that married people are bitches, basically. It was his, but I was like, that's beautiful. That means that the human body is literally designed for marriage.
It's so you don't kill your kid.
It's so you don't kill your kid or cheat on your wife and abandon your kid, right? So it's like, that's what you want. You want, you know, men to be testosterone ridden until they, you know, lock down a, you know, pair bond with a mate, and then you don't need that testosterone.
Yeah, it's all normal. It's all beautiful. It's already been figured out. We are the ones, and you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, like going to church and whatnot, like our own plans, our own machinations. We are the people that screw things up. If we just follow God's plan, it's all good. But it's easy to say, hard to do. I get it wrong. So like, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but what I am saying is we all need to be better.
Yeah. Right. And like you said, we figured it out. It's actually like things, we actually know how to do things the best possible way. It's all these new ideas that are actually just old ideas. They're actually, it's actually just a devolution back to like a pre-civilized
the meme
status.
The meme I think about, it's like, damn, why do I feel so good all the time? And it's like someone drinking water, someone running, someone eating good food. Yeah. And it really isn't that hard, except for the fact that the poison is all around you, like at the gas station, like the Gatorade, the Red 40, I must have it. Oh, right. That comes to me. That evil spirit comes to me. Like, right. Hey, you know, like those Sun Chips, you eat the whole big bag, huh? Pretty good.
Right.
It's like, no, it's got glyphosate and it'll hurt my stomach and make me cry. Like,
yeah.
But I don't listen to that voice sometimes, you know?
No,
the goal should be not listen to that voice all the time.
Well, and of course the meme you're referencing is an inversion of the meme, why do I feel so bad all the time?
Yes.
It's like you're staying up late, watching pornography, you're eating junk food, you know, charged up on energy drinks. Oh, why do I feel so bad?
Exactly.
I think it's obvious. So this is the study that, you know, went viral again, but again, we study this over and over. We've, you know, talked about this over and over for as long as I've been at InfoWars. For 7 years, we've been talking about this, and even more so before I got here. Testosterone eliminates strategic pro-social behavior through impacting choice consistency in healthy males. What does that mean? It basically means that extragenous testosterone fully eliminated strategic, i.e. feigned pro-sociability, and thus decreased submission to audience expectations.
So that's very key. So the study they're doing here, they're administering testosterone to people. Exogenous means they suck them in with the needle or with the gel or whatever. So this is like an acute drug response. Like, what does this hormone do in the study? They're not taking like a gradation of people with higher levels and going, okay, so they act a little differently. They're saying, okay, we're going to compare people that aren't on test, the people that are on test. And the reality is, if you look at testosterone levels way back when, like in the 70s and whatnot, we should all be on test, basically.
Right.
We should
all pretty
be
much
on steroids, because people naturally were on steroids. And the endocrine disruptors, the plastic, the everything, it's just, it is a horror show.
Yeah.
Can what's going to happen first? Israel stops killing innocent civilians, or the birth rate drops to zero? Like, what happens first? Maybe they like coincide. Maybe when the last human is born, Israel launches the last bomb. Maybe that's how it works.
It would be very serendipitous if that was the case. But what it's saying is that you don't succumb to peer pressure. You don't, and it's not saying that you aren't legitimately swayed by things. It's saying you don't pretend. You don't act like
you don't feel need to conform to the group. What's the language at the bottom of the study? If we can scroll down really quick. I'm looking at the TV.
Well, it goes on. It says it counteracts conformity and deceptive reputation strategies. So again, basically it just makes you more honest. It's basically what it's saying, in that even if that honesty is going to, you know, cause you trouble socially, you're still going to tell the truth. Even if it's inconvenient, that's if you have a high testosterone, basically.
You become Big Pimp, and everyone knows Big Pimp is chill, basically. Big Pimp is chill.
You're darn tootin'. And I mean, it's funny because it's like chemical wars. Like, we're fighting hormone wars. Like,
that's a good name for a show.
Chemical war. It's the information war, but also that is coincides the chemical wars. Like, you can have the information, but if you literally don't have the chemical balance to be able to handle it, like, you know, I talk about all the time. This, you can see the same thing happen. And in one case, you're just like, oh, look, a sad little girl, you know, right. Who cares? But in the other case, you see the exact same image and you start to well up with tears. And that's entirely because of the hormone filter interpreting the world around you. It's not that the world has changed. It's that your interpretation has changed. And if they can actually get in and almost to the extent of like having a node in your head where they can inject dopamine to make you feel good, that's all that they're doing. They just do it through the screen and through likes.
We're pressed on time. We have to take calls. Right. But very, very quickly, let's talk about this. This is a very important point. Women on birth control. So women on birth control will select for men that are like,
yeah, it's true.
But then when they're off birth control, they want like, like it's, you look at these modern relationships and these modern marriages, that's why the divorce rate is so high. That's why things are so screwed up is because these women are taking hormonal drugs, which make them want different partners.
Yep.
And if that's going on and we know about it, imagine what they know is going on about us.
And it's pheromones, right? They've done it where, you know, women on birth control, like the smell of the sweat of men who are high testosterone or in women on birth control.
Inverse,
like,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, the point is people on birth control like the sissy soy boys and women off birth control prefer real men. It's very fascinating. And of course, this is what the entire InfoWars like paradigm is all about is like, not only do you need the information, not only do we need to be telling the truth and, you know, understanding the spiritual significance, but the physical significance, the poison in the food and water, the way that you're being weakened, so you're more manipulatable and malleable and less, you know, able to stand on your own. It's all intertwined, so we try to fight this battle on all of these fronts at once. And of course, we give you incredible complex.
That's how we support ourselves here, right? Is we sell the products that you need and that we need too in order to fund the operation. And that's why I formulated these two new products, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But specifically for the conversation we're having here about men's testosterone and just kind of endurance, mentality, strength support, that is what Power Plant is for. This is a zinc boron complex, mostly. It's also got powerful adaptogens in there like Rhodiola rosea, also known as golden root, and then cordyceps mushroom for oxygen carrying capacity. Basically, it's an exercise supercharger, and it's also a male mineral blend. But the zinc and the boron specifically, the zinc will work to increase overall testosterone, and the boron comes in to increase overall free testosterone. And when you look at that, there's this thing in your body called sex hormone binding globulin, right? And that's what binds onto sex hormones like testosterone and estrogen, and it renders them inert, right? So you'll have your total test level, and then you'll have your free test level. What's important about Power Plant is that it increases that free test level, that actual metric that'll influence how you feel, how your brain works, how your body is functioning. So a lot of these other formulas, they're very strong and they contain kind of like selective estrogen modulating type of herbs like Tonkat is very popular, and Tonkat's very cool, right? But something like this will directly increase free testosterone, which is something that those other herbs don't do.
And adaptogens are basically the way that your body deals with stress, right? So as you're talking about, testosterone helps you deal with stress, adaptogens.
An adaptogen is usually a phytochemical or a plant compound that has different actions in the body based on your state.
Okay.
So if you've got like an inflammation problem, it addresses that. But if you've got another problem, it addresses that there. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And it makes sense why it's called the adaptogens, because it adapts to whatever your body's going through. So Power Plant is the advanced adaptogen complex from thealexjonesstore.com, designed for real performance and, of course, formulated by Rex Jones.
That's right.
And very powerful stuff. And in fact, like I always say, we are supposed to have a bottle of Power Plant behind this desk for when we do plugs. Somebody's stolen it. So instead,
might have been me. You never know.
It may have been me. Instead, CJ had to run in here with his personal bottle of Power Plant that he takes.
And don't forget about the Methyl Drive. The Methyl Drive is by far, bar none, the best overall longevity and health supplement money can buy. It's got perfect CoQ10 and PQQ ratio. CoQ10 is something that also helps you in a way like methylene blue does, but more natural. It's present in everyone. It's an organic chemical. It helps with electron transfer, and the PQQ enhances the biogenesis creation of new mitochondria. We've also got magnesium in there. It's really everything you need, and bioactive vitamin B12. So you take that in concert with Power Plant. I mean, I made it for myself, so I don't have to buy it anymore.
That's awesome.
I don't have to buy six bottles anymore. I just grabbed two.
And you can get both of these together with the Power Drive combo.
That's
and
right.
Of course, you can get up to 50% off. Well, you can get 50% off the Power Drive combo, 50% off Power Plant itself when you visit the Alex Jones store, if you're a VIP member, as part of the buy one, or no, that's just 50% off.
It's an incredible deal.
Right out of the gate.
You gotta get it now.
I was thinking this was the buy one, get one sale.
That's not gonna last.
But this is an additional sale on top of that. So, thealexjonesstore.com, go there today, buy the Power Drive combo, Power Plant, or Methyl Drive, or both, and get massive discounts, especially if you're a VIP member. We got this video from, so apparently Charlie Kirk is talking about testosterone. And,
he should be talking about like veneers, you know, he should be talking about veneers and dental stuff. He should be selling toothpaste. I got a guy for that, Charlie. Hit me up.
See, this is my thing is it's always the crew too. I'm always like, Tim Pool, who we like. And they're like, screw Tim Pool. They're always like wanting me to be enemies with them. I like all these people. Okay, I don't really mind.
Okay.
They're
all just,
we're enemies.
I like to have fun.
We're enemies. Sure. We're in, but we have more and more dangerous enemies than,
this is true.
I'm trying to be a peacemaker here. I just want to win. I think it's hilarious though. Let's go to clip number 17. It's a short one, but it's not Charlie Kirk that we're going to talk about here. It's the, CNN's reaction to this. So here's CNN reviewing a Charlie Kirk video. Let's go to clip 17 now.
I do think that there is a direct correlation between someone's testosterone and their politics. I would love to have a study done on this. On young men, the lower their testosterone, the more likely they are to be Democratic. Democrats are not going to be able to win over high testosterone men because they're too self-directed. So differently, the lower your testosterone is, the more likely you are going to be subservient and compliant. So our republic needs alpha men.
So, in Charlie Kirk's world, high T means manliness, rebellion, and maybe a MAGA hat. Low T, and you're apparently lining up for your ninth booster and asking the government to tuck you
in. I think me and Shoddy would get along, you know?
That's pretty girl.
Yeah, I think we'd get along, you know?
You can teach her about testosterone.
But the thing is, like, we already had this study done, right? It was the Try Guys with that BuzzFeed channel.
That's right.
And they did the test, and they're all, like, 200, which is, like, geriatric, and the Asian dude is the only guy who's normal.
Right.
It's wild. It's crazy. It's truly insane.
There's a direct correlation to the amount of your testosterone. And to me, it's just funny that you've got all these CNN people laughing going, so I guess soy boys vote left. It's like, yes, this is imminently observable all around you. What are you talking? Why are you laughing? This is just Charlie Kirk is saying the obvious.
Absolutely.
And they can't handle it. It's just ridiculous. All right. Let's go out to your calls. Thank you so much for holding everybody. Let's go to, Godzilla in Wisconsin.
Godzilla.
Wants to talk about, Israel stuff. I'm sorry. We've had so much fun talking, Rex and I. We don't have too much time for calls, so please keep the comments short. Godzilla, you're on the air with myself and Rex Jones.
Hey, shalom. Good morning, guys. Yeah, I was wondering what you guys think. There was a report that I was reading over the weekend that Israelis get free health care in the U.S.
Really?
And I can't Google any of this stuff, that they can fly here from Israel and they can get, like, lung and heart transplants same day from American people and stuff, and we pay for everything, their flight, their stay, and everything.
I did see a story on that.
I try to Google that, and, like, my brain tells me to go buy McDonald's suddenly, and I have to, like, leave my house and buy McDonald's.
That's funny.
From some cell phone tower far away. So I was wondering if you guys can send one of your crack reporters or, like, see if that's true. There's so much disinformation now. And then also, I was wondering about the you guys never mentioned the Stonehenge in America on the bottom of Lake Michigan. I think it's a good example about how the government just lies to us. And we just eat their poop all day. And everyone just is, like, blind to it. But, like, there's a Stonehenge in the bottom of Lake Michigan.
That's a bit weird.
They said it's 9,000 years old. And Lake Michigan was dry over 12,000 years ago. So the excuse they feed us is that it was built underwater.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, it was, you know, the ancient
Native American art of scuba.
Exactly. Wow. You know what? I hadn't even seen it, man. It's like all I do all day is watch news, and I just miss these major things. I hadn't even heard of this.
There's one every hour.
Seriously. Yeah. Well, because look at that. I mean, that image. I mean, that sometimes you see things where it's like, is this an underwater structure? And it's just like kind of like a rock on a right angle. And it's like, well, maybe. But those are standing stones.
We don't know nothing about what's happened thousands and thousands
of
years ago. We don't know anything.
That's wild. I want to know about that. What was the other thing you asked about? Just before then, you asked
it was about the
Israelis getting free healthcare.
Yeah, you know, the Israelis getting free healthcare.
That's one of those things. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the details of it. I'll have to look into that before I answer that question. I think you're in the same boat I am, Rex.
I think the illegals are getting it.
Well, no, I've heard there's something where
I'm definitely going to deep dive on that and talk about that next show with Harrison. 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I saw something on that. I know you're not pulling that out of thin air, Godzilla. I saw the same story as you, but then the McDonald's programming.
Yeah, then we all went and got a
Big Mac.
Super-sized Big Mac meal. No, but yeah, I just don't remember exactly what it is. Israelis get health free care in the United States. Yeah, there was a TikTok video that went viral about this. And they were saying it's not exactly how it works, but it kind of is. It's basically that, like, the Israeli government pays for their treatment in America, but then America funds the Israeli government. So it's like, at the end of the day, it does actually come from our coffers. But we'll have to do a deep dive before I comment too much on that.
Indeed.
Thank you for the call.
That would be pretty bad.
It's, you know, well, it wouldn't be.
It sounds bad enough to be believable. I'll tell you that right now.
It sounds bad enough to be believable. That's exactly right. Let's go to Jim in Rhode Island now. Jim in Rhode Island. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for having me on there, Harrison.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to get back to the Israeli issue. I mean, our Congress, they're so supplicant. I mean, they're barking seals for any time. Yeah, they're barking seals for any time Zelensky or Netanyahu shows up in Congress to speak. You know, they're just there clapping, going, or.
Wait,
I believe
the Republicans and the Democrats gave 50 standing ovations during his 55-minute speech.
Yes, it's something crazy like that. If you want to see the proof of, like, who really rules us, you just watch Netanyahu visit Congress. And it is like you say. It is like you say, caller. Jim, apologies. They bark and clap like trained seals. It's what they do. It's like they're circus animals.
And the strange thing is that the president of a foreign country commands more loyalty than our president in Congress.
Yeah, exactly.
Is more able to get things passed, is more able to, you know, get bills, get support from both sides of the aisle than our own president. Benjamin Netanyahu, 90% of Congress will vote for whatever he wants. It's sick, man.
Top 10 evil people on the planet. We don't know a lot of them, but Netanyahu's on the list for sure.
I would say so.
Anyone that takes money from AIPAC should be voted out of office.
I agree. I think AIPAC needs to be sort of the bullseye at the center of our target at this point. Because again, it's not even about.
They control like 420 seats, I think, something like that. 422.
And they just pour millions of dollars. I mean, they're trying to take out Massey now. They have this Kentucky MAGA pack, but it's clearly just AIPAC rebranded. And, why are they allowed to do that? Why can we not just get them to register under FARA? All of that subversive activity would have to cease. And then maybe we could have people supporting us rather than their foreign donors in Congress.
People forget LBJ was our first Jewish president. And when did they get nuclear weapons? Right around that time. Very interesting.
And how did he get into office? Very convenient.
Hey, Harrison, how can I contact you?
On X, at Harrison H. Smith.
I add him all the time.
you can add me, or you can DM me. I was supposed to check my DMs yesterday. Maybe I'll get to it today. I have to build up the mental.
It's hard.
The mental will to actually look at my private messages.
People got moon landing plans.
Yeah. I get all sorts of stuff. That's about going to do it for us. Again, you can follow Rex on X as well at Rex Jones News a Z at the end of news.
Please give me a follow. I love you so much, whoever you are. Please just give me a follow.
Just give him a damn follow already, won't you? Yeah. You have a check mark, right? So
it's official. It's important. That's right.
So it's easy to find who Rex Jones actually is. And of course, the incredible supplements that are out at thealexjonesstore.com is how we stay on air. And you can hear from Rex. The man's got a real passion and knowledge for it, which is why we're able to offer you the best of the best. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Rex, thank you so much for being here with us.
I'll see you next week, man. We're going to do it again.
Maybe we should call this segment Chemical Wars. Every
that goes hard.
Right?
Chemical Wars.
Chemical Wars. It's chemical warfare where your mind is the battlefield. Thanks so much for being here with us. The Alex Jones Show begins in 90 seconds. Go today to TheAlexJonesStore.com to support us, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Stay tuned. Alex Jones.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. You figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history, maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. all the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our ultra-methylene blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% humanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like it's. I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. Be right back.